Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise, but our voice don't sing able. We're all so mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Shazam's the Turbo. All rise for King Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. I got to find an abbreviated version of that. That gives me like a headache every time I say it. Anyway, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html at shazizradio.com. And if you want to scroll down there on that same page where you have access to four separate chat rooms, you can go to a fifth separate chat room over on People for People Radio Network. Also check out Wolf Spirit Radio as well. Wonderful folks over both places, all places. Good people all over the world. We're working on it. So, anyway, I posted a video down there that the doggone deal says, have they lied to us about absolutely everything? I'm just going to play just the very first portion because it's not necessarily the video or the moon landing hoax that I'm actually talking about, even though that is relevant to what it is wanting to talk about, and I'm just going to play just the very first portion of this.
This is what it means if they didn't go to the moon, and we're right that they lied about it. It means that the people controlling the government are not the Congress and not the Senate, but the CIA is running the country. And if they lied about the moon landings through their teeth, going to an elaborate scheme to do it, they will lie about anything and everything.
Hey friends, thanks so much for tuning in. Join me as we take a walk down occult lane and cover a topic we've not covered very much in the past, and it's the topic of the moon landings. And before we begin, I just want to remind everybody that in 1968, the Club of Rome was formed, and its purpose was to create a crisis that would unite the world and condition us all to the idea of global solutions to local problems.
In a document called The First Global Revolution, authored by Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider, on pages 104 and 105, it stated, "In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers, of course, will be caused by human intervention that will require a global response." That's the origin of global warming, ladies and gentlemen.
And then UNESCO was formed, and its goal is to dumb us all down and make our children global citizens and hardcore humanists, removing God and all conversations about God from the schools. They've lied to us about vaccines, they've lied to us about 9/11, and I think they've probably lied to us about whether we ever really went to the moon. I'm very pleased to welcome Bart Sabrell. He's the producer and director of the 2001 film A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. He also produced Astronauts Gone Wild, an investigation into the authenticity of the moon landings. He was a contributor to the Fox special conspiracy theory, Did We Really Land on the Moon? You can find him on YouTube as Bart Sabrell and visit his website, Sabrell.com. Bart, thanks for joining us.
Okay, that's as far as I wanted to take that right there. I need to pass that link over, I guess, there. So let me see if I can jump on YouTube with it without it jumping back on there. But anyway, there were some really important things said in that, just that first little half of, you know, about how different things started. Barbara, did you hear that portion, what she said about the doggone... how global warming started?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, hi, everybody. Can you pass that YouTube link to me? So I'll pass it on to People for People if you can.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is sort of like uncanny here that you've decided to talk about this today because of all the increase in banning, shadow banning, eliminating, if you have a different perspective, all on this free, supposedly free system, you know, freedom of speech and so on. But I was looking at this link, what we'll talk about later, but the unseen masters of all, basically, this is what we're talking about, who are the 13 bloodlines that are controlling everything that we're going to talk about, our media, all sorts of information and all systems that they are basically feeding us of the alerts, the alarms to be terrified of, and even, yeah, the global warming hoax, because that's really what it is. So, yeah, I'm on to that.
One of the things, and it's not necessarily just the fact that whether you do or don't believe we went to the doggone moon, but one of the things that I really wanted to bring up about was that YouTube has taken it upon themselves, and Google essentially has taken it upon themselves, that any video that they disagree with, not only do they have the power to demonetize or, you know, actually shut down the channel, but let's say they don't really want to shut down the channel. They got, like this particular channel here, Mark Sargent, the Sargent Report, he's got 391,000 subscribers. So he brings a lot of people to the deal with his content. However, if they disagree with the video, they put these little, right there, here, this one here is Encyclopedia Britannica. It talks about the Apollo space program. So they'll put an alternate view underneath that.
Yeah.
So that, and, yeah, I don't know, is it just me, or is that basically telling people that, if when you watch this video, well, don't believe this guy because here's the real truth right here, you know? And so they get to pick and choose which story is the truth instead of allowing the viewer to discern for themselves whether or not they believe in it, you know, or not. You see what I'm saying here?
Well, I do. And, I mean, we could look at, I think that it's important that people have the opportunity to look at different perspectives. I mean, this is part of when we say do your research, this is part of what we mean. You know, you don't just take one point of view and say, yeah, that's it, that's the truth. It's important that we do look at alternative, you know, positions on things and then determine. But to actually post something like you're describing about a particular perspective and then have the system, whoever they are, who's ever working on these things, that's cabal or the opposing factors or whatever, or the ones that don't want people to know, your perspective or what you feel is true, they're going to pop up an alternative perspective, what they feel you should believe in. And so that's manipulative. You're not posting that. Is exactly what's happening. They're posting it. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, they're posting it right underneath the video so that whenever a person comes on here, if they're looking at what could be, you know, new information, they also got this opposing view down there. And so it's kind of like that syndrome where the guy in the white lab coat, he's supposed to be the smart guy, so you'll listen to him before you listen to somebody who may just do a video up there or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
And so it gives them that, you know, what's the authority say kind of deal, you know? My teacher said that global warming was real. Well, you just heard a lady talk about how they had to basically just create global warming as a crisis in order to get the whole world to work together on, certain agenda. You see what I mean?
Exactly, so, I do.
So it's worse than George Orwell's 1984 because, you know, they're actually in the process right now of controlling information to the extent where, you know, this is probably the least right here, putting another ad underneath your video saying that, you know, this is the real story here. This is what the government says happened, and then you can put your information out there. But either way, that's I don't know. I can't find the right terminology to say that's in a polite manner.
Right. Well, we have. I mean, you know, what we're talking about, what we're going to talk about today is right in our face on so many levels right now in this moment, and it's escalating actually, and so it's a good subject because this is nothing new, but it's escalated to a degree today where they're eliminating people's perspectives left and right, taking down YouTube's or people's sites, people's links, the information that gives people a different perspective, an alternative view, and a possible, you know, direction where they can look to find their own sense of truth. They just are herding everybody into this one you know, in this one place, giving their perspective, denying others any other perspective than what they believe we should know. And this is the technology that we've reached here today. You know, it gives them this ability and this opportunity. You know, we have Google, we have Twitter now, we have YouTube, we have, you know, all these, the technology, Facebook and everything that is supposed to allow us in, as a country, our free speech. Okay, but that's not the way it is. And, you know, it's not, I think, from the beginning, goes all the way back to Rome, was where the first time you ever heard about censorship, sometime there for something, whatever, BC, the word censor started to appear. And you always have certain factions or groups of people who want to control things, and they have the ability to censor you. And some, and you know, it was either burn you at the stake, or you know, start war. But Orwell said, if large numbers of people believe in freedom of speech, there will be freedom of speech, even if the law forbids it. But if public opinion is sluggish, inconvenient minorities will be persecuted, even if laws exist to protect them. And that's what we are experiencing today. This is nothing new, but it is ramping up big time in our face right this day.
Let me explain something real quick, because I got a person in a chat room talk about global warming is kind of real. It's it just made me think about something here. There's certain people out there that, you know, might not believe we went to the moon, but yet they think that certain things about NASA might be real. You know, it's like if somebody lies to you on one portion, it could be that they're telling you the truth on the other portion over there. Well, it's the way that they twisted all the words for, you know, for trying to explain how, you know, global warming or climate change or climate disruption, whichever name they want to use, depending on, you know, what the temperature is outside. First off, it started off as propaganda. And then it went from not just propaganda to actually forging documents and numbers in order to maintain a lie. For example, when I was shoveling 20 inches of snow off my driveway during the time when they said the planet was supposed to be heating up and sea levels were going to rise and all this kind of crazy stuff, then suddenly now it's climate disruption. It's instead of climate change, it's climate disruption. It's not global warming anymore, you know, global cooling or whatever. But their shenanigans with the numbers and their shenanigans with the terminology, how they explain global warming. Number one, from the start to finish, basic science disproved global warming way back when. All right, but that didn't matter. And even to the extent of what's going on with the doggone moon landing, whether you believe we did or didn't go back there, there are some valid questions, such as the battery technology they had there, the Van Allen radiation belt, the fact that they have none of the telemetry data anymore, and they lost it all or they destroyed it. And even if they did have it, they wouldn't be able to play it back because, you know, it was on old tape reels and stuff like that. So there's so many questions that make it plausible to put this video up that he did, that they lie to us about everything. And so for them to put this this propaganda underneath the bottom of it, saying the Apollo space program and giving their version of the doggone story, you know, it's basically censorship in its worst. You know what I'm saying? Because it constantly muddies up the water. And, you know, as far as, you know, the whole global warming thing, nature has been doing what nature's been doing for as long as this planet's been here. So there are natural cycles that we go through. If you believe in the heliocentric version of the world that we're going around the sun, then according to that definition and that explanation, we're in an elliptical orbit with the sun that every so often we get just a hair closer to the sun, never close enough to burn up, but close enough that as we go back out into space, the gravitational pull of the sun will tilt us back just a little bit, and it would change our weather patterns from top to bottom. So people that normally were getting hot weather are getting cold weather, and vice versa, because the sun's shining in different places than it used to do. And so as we get back out into space, and the moon, which is in a tidal lock with us, basically causes us to wobble back around to where we were to begin with, and so that pattern repeats itself over and over again, and that's why we have all these crazy, you know, sections where we got, you know, heavy duty storms this particular time, and then, you know, we got normal weather, and then we go into another cycle where maybe we have drought seasons, or even like the versions of many ice ages and stuff like that. So all the way through history, this is all natural stuff. It's nothing. Well, it's nothing that man made, that man has been able to do. That's what I'm trying to say. Nature's more powerful.
Well, okay, here's some things that I've been thinking about on the global warming hoax, because I think that there's messing around with the globe and the atmosphere. So we have to look at the history of the technology that is affecting the weather patterns, our planting, the seasons, the weather, and winter, summer, spring, and fall, and these all have changed. It's things we've noticed, the many changes, okay? But I think the push on global warming is about a controlling factor here, and to terrify people, and basically to push people to do certain things. Okay, that they're, again, the manipulators are working towards, and you can go as far as saying it's an Agenda 2130/30 system that they're trying to get everybody, you know, you could say, off the land and under the guise of saving the land. Okay, so you mess with the system deliberately so that we look at things and say, well, you have to look realistically at deforestation, what that's doing to the planet. That's not natural. Okay, yeah. So that's the Mother Earth, yeah, has her natural cycles, but now that's been messed with, so that's going to mess with the whole system. You have the deforestation, you have the pollution of the waters, you have the pesticides, you have the chemtrails, you have, you know, on and on and on, stuff like that, that the system, and when I say the system, it's those that are in control, who don't give a crap about the planet, who don't care about the health of the people.
And to that extent, that is how man is actually causing, you know, different changes in environmental and climates and in general vicinities of where they're doing all that. See, it's the people that's saying that us driving our cars is doing it, is the one that's actually causing the problem.
Well,
it's
your carbon footprint.
Yeah.
The slogan, what's your carbon footprint? You're to blame. You people are to blame. You're the bad, bad, bad people. And you should be terrified because you're changing the planet and we're heading for this nightmare. And this is what you have to do in order to save the world.
Yeah, give them more money, and yet they're going to save the world with it, like they did with all the rest of the money they stole. But here's a funny thing about it is, we talk about censorship. There are people out there actually suggesting that you get thrown in jail for disagreeing, being a climate change denier. You get thrown in jail if you deny climate change. Did you know that? You still there, Barbara? I think I lost her. That ain't good. Here we go again. Are you back?
No, am I back?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay, yeah. They're going to mess with us today.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that we're talking about this, right? And now they're going to censor us.
Yep, that's it.
Right?
Did you hear what I said about this is in jail for it?
Well, that's where we're heading on all, it seems like in all aspects, they're shadow banning, they're disallowing people to speak their truths, because they don't want the truth to be told, the truth to be known. They want to be in control, so they're heading us in that direction. where they're going to basically be throwing people in jail, you know?
Because their side of the story is the debate is over. And it's not over. It hasn't even started yet. There wasn't no debate. It was a one-sided, we're going to tell you what's wrong with the world.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, well, I can still hear you. They're saying...
You're breaking up, and now I can't hear you at all.
Can you hear me now?
All right. Hello.
Yeah, so, testing 1, 2. Let me reset this call here real quick. Okay. We're going to reset this call. Billy. Oh, you just got to love it, folks. Now I can't even get reconnected. What the heck is going on around here? Yeah, alright, we'll try this one more time. Ah! Are you kidding me? Let's try this again. Fun. Anyway, so while I'm trying to get Barbara back, Barbara isn't online. There she goes. She's coming back. Let's see if we can get this again. Yay! You just gotta love it, man. All right. Well, that's good, Stephen. I lost her there, so we'll get back. But anyway, so, you know, whenever they're doing that stuff like that, putting things on there, they don't want an opposing view on anything. And so, let's see. Where's it at? There you are. Are you there?
I'm here.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great. And they can hear us in the chat room. So,
well, you will be.
here we go again.
All right. Well, yeah. We're saying they're censoring us big time because we're talking about stuff that they don't want people to know.
Yeah, this is what we deal with because, we're stepping on toes now. We're talking about... We don't believe in climate change, or we don't believe in the moon
landing. What we're talking about, these are algorithms now. Today, there's certain words that create an algorithm that knocks you off or censors you or deletes you, and this is part of the system. Words, there are certain words we're not allowed to say because it sets up an algorithm on their system, and it's an alert, and then we are shut down.
Yeah, so the AI gets to choose whether or not our information is... good enough for you to hear. If it determines that our words is offensive or hate crimes or
conspiracy.
Yeah. So there you go. And you know what the crazy thing about it is, I pay for the bandwidth. All right, I'm not going through Google or any of those.
Right.
I pay for every bit of time that I have transmitting, and so for them to interfere with me is basically they get to steal from me directly.
Well, you should be really, really upset about that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Are you upset yet?
Well, yeah. That's like. You go to the store and you buy a bag of chips and the guy at the deal says, well, okay, well, I'm taking a few of those and my buddies over here, they want some of them. So even though you paid for it, we're taking a few of your chips and then you can have what's left over. All right? I paid for those chips. They're all mine, right?
Well, you're breaking up. Keep breaking up too, you know.
Just keep on rolling. I'll try to talk closer to the mic so I can.
Yep, you're really breaking up. I don't know if people can hear us right now, but I wanted to go into a brief history of censorship and how it's playing out right now.
Yeah, go ahead. You're going through fine.
Okay, so here we go. Censorship has been considered a legitimate instrument for controlling the political and social positions of the masses for centuries. It did not dawn in our current Orwellian state. current Orwellian state, with the massive YouTube channel bans, social media limitations of reach, shadow banning, and false narrative creation, we can look to precise moments in history when similar tactics were used to control our freedom of expression. Nevertheless, we have to know the truth always wins. Can you still hear me there?
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Okay, so to censor, C-E-N-S-O-R, with love from Rome. If large numbers of people believe in freedom of speech, there will be freedom of speech, even if the law forbids it. But if public opinion is sluggish, inconvenient,
I lost you again. Dad, bless it.
What?
I lost you again. You're back now.
Okay. Yikes. Okay, so the origin of the term censor comes from Rome in 443 B.C., and this was the famous philosopher Socrates was forced to drink poison in 399 B.C. for his corrupt religious and political views. But he was not the first person to ever be punished for his views so violently. So, in every corner of the globe, from China to the USSR, and from the United States to Africa, censorship has abounded. Notably, censorship reforms only began in Russia in a single decade of tolerance, and that was from 1855 to 1865, during the reign of Tsar Alexander II, when a transition was made from legislation on pre-censorship to the punitive system based on legal responsibility, but with the false Russian spy narrative being plugged today, we are wary of focusing on a singular geographic region as the only country to use censorship to control its people, because we know here in the United States, we're being censored. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, the red pencil. Journalists of the highest caliber have faced the red pencil when trying to accurately and honestly report on war crimes, civil movements, and even nonviolent demonstrations or artistic movements, which often carry the seeds of expressed emotions pushed into submission by more overt displays. Book burning. Books and entire libraries have been burned to quash freedom of expression. This imprisonment of some of humanity's most original thinkers and valuable ancient history has still not stifled the truth from eventually coming forth. Now you have famous book burnings, the burning of the books of the pretended prophecies in Rome, okay? We're talking 186 B.C. in an effort to suppress the Bacchanalian practices that had been led in part by Minius Serenius, a consul of Rome, claimed that the fathers and grandfathers of the Romans had suppressed foreign rites and ceremonies, seeking out and burning of all books of pretended prophecies. Well, they're calling them pretended prophecies. Then you have imperial books and manuscripts of wisdom in Japan. You have that banning of books. Then you have the burning of the Library of Alexandria. I think pretty much most of us remember that, or teachings of that in history. But the question is, here's a lie possible. Was the Alexandria Library really burned? Because now there is some information that it's possible that, no, all those books were actually confiscated and taken and sit in the bowels of the Vatican. I'm just saying.
Well, see, that don't surprise
right?
me none either.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
I'm going to keep asking you. Cause, okay, now you have selective burning of the books of the Quran. You have the third caliph of Islam after Muhammad. His name was Uthman ibn Affan, credited with overseeing the collection of the verses of the Quran, or destruction of any other remaining text containing verses of the Quran after the Quran had been fully collected, circa 650. Then you have competing Christian philosophies. After the conquest of Toledo, Spain, Toledo, 1085, by the King of Castile, it was being disputed on whether Iberian Christians should follow the foreign Roman rite of the traditional Mozabaric rite. After additional ordeals, it was submitted to the trial by fire. One book for each rite was thrown into the fire. Then you have, we know, the Nazi book burning. In 1817, German student associations chose the 300th anniversary of Luther's 95 festival at the Wartburg a castle in Thuringia to burn all books and literature thought to be non-German. Nazi German authorities sink Nazi ideology and policy at the time of this burning. So there are thousands more instances of book burnings and literature and of manuscripts being defiled all over the world. The Dead Sea Scrolls and other manuscripts which are magically showing up today in digitally archived form may have been saved in some instances of the attempt to control all information, but largely the social and political narrative has been closely guided for thousands of years. Entire communities have been sent into exile when controlling the narrative through media is not sufficient of the powers in control. War, often as the last resort, but often also the first, further controls the narrative. What those aiming to control us forget is that communication of truth will always find a rising tide. One controversial site has already enacted a joint venture with an offshore internet security provider with aims of having their own channel, which cannot be censored. It will be deeply encrypted so that posts and emails from members will be censorship immune. Now, this is just the first step of many counterattempts to keep free speech alive. Many more are likely to surface as the fury of those being censored drives them to find alternatives to the deep state controlled media outlets. And that's what we're dealing with, is that every media that we are listening to, or that we have an opportunity to look at if we want, or that is supposed to be giving us the truth and facts, are basically owned by a cabal. And I will get into that afterwards, if we want to. And YouTube's surreptitious banning of false news channels today will only backfire, pun intended. This is only a modern attempt at book burning, gone virtual and digital. Internet censorship violates the U.S. Constitution and demonizes truthers. Yep. But as history reveals, the antics of the deep state will likely fail. Even after burning millions of books, genocide, war, and organized social control, truth has greater power. And I'm gonna give a thumbs up to this. The antics of the deep state will likely fail. In this timeline where we are today, I'm giving that a thumbs up, because we see things happening and they're working very hard, ramping up. The deep state is ramping up to basically take everything down that is speaking the truth about who they are. That's where we are today.
Yeah, Stephen Gibbons posted a link in the chat room that NASA had launched a laser satellite to track loss of ice sheets and glaciers across the world as the climate warms, and supposedly this spacecraft will orbit the Earth and fire a laser 10,000 times a second to find out how quickly the glaciers are melting.
Well, the glaciers can be melting because of the what they're messing with the rainforest. They're basically taking a system down that holds things, in harmony and balance. I mean, the rainforest is vital to the natural system of Earth. So I'm just saying that we have to look at that. I mean, I know an elder from Iceland who years ago, his people started to really be concerned about what was happening there in Iceland. These people live there, they know the system, they know their lands, and they were very concerned, and they were saying that there's a change there that is unnatural that they have seen, and this was years ago. I'm looking at the effects of the the Kabbalic system that is incrementally destroying nature, which has a balance, holds its balance, goes through its cycles, like we say, the Earth goes through its natural cycles. But they are increasing these things due to, again, I'm going to say, the pollutions, the rainforests, pesticides, spraying, the chemtrails specifically. I mean, it's across the board that they have been for years, advancing these particular things to really destroy the natural cycles of the Earth.
Yeah, Stephen said, I wonder what the maximum wattage of this is and what it's actually capable of. Also, as far as my memory serves, satellites can't travel over the poles due to the Earth's magnetic field, so what they're using as propulsion. And I told him, I said, well, not sure, but that is rich shooting lasers to see how fast the ice is melting. Laugh out loud. Maybe the plan is to bust off a few chunks to feed the lie. So, look, I'm not one of the ones that believes in global warming. I do believe that they are causing a lot of natural disasters, not natural, man-made disasters, such as what you explained. For example, when it comes down to fracking, if you understand the process of fracking, then you understand why it is that all over this earth that they're finding sinkholes popping up everywhere. That's because whenever you break the hydraulics out from underneath a building, and you know, like you're sucking the gas out, or you know, liquid or whatever, you're emptying out hydraulic pressure necessary to hold that ground up. And so if they're fracking all over the place, they could be fracking way down the road from you and then draining out the gas, but some of that gas might be in a pocket underneath your property, and whenever they get the gas out that they want and that ground is weaker now because it no longer has the hydraulic pressure that it had before and the ground collapses and your house sinks, well, then they can turn around and use plausible deniability and say it's an act of God and not have to pay insurance on your house. See, that's just one little tiny example of how they're messing stuff up. Not to mention the fact that they're using this cruddy water that they're putting down in there to actually spread the rocks apart, you know, to crack it up, you know. So they're causing a disaster in that way, and they're causing disasters in many other ways as well. You know, the deforestation that you talk about. Now, if they're planting trees behind them, you know, years in advance and doing it in a manner which they're doing it, you know, efficiently, where you got the trees are growing back before you're cutting new ones down. You see what I'm saying? Instead of just going down there stripping out the land, it's one thing using, you know, some of the wood or whatever, but it's another thing when you go and strip out entire deals and then you wonder why you got all this erosion occurring and stuff. So it's common sense. But as far as the carbon emissions supposedly coming out of your car, that's not happening. That's not doing it in any way, any form or fashion. You see what I'm trying to say here, Barbara?
Yep, I do. And it's easy for us to sound like a bunch of conspiracy nutcases.
Well, yeah, they labeled us as such.
They labeled us that way, but also when you start looking at this stuff, you know, you're talking about, you know, a different perspective, and then you see certain, you know, I guess you could say, well, I'm looking at this site, is this a lunar landscape? And they're talking about Neil Armstrong's body language, about questioning about the moon. Is this a lunar landscape? And this person says, no, it's crater field at Groom Lake, Nevada, created by nuclear weapon testing, but it could easily have been used for lunar simulations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's all these things you have to look at all aspects of something, all perspectives. You just can't say, yeah, this is fake or this is true.
But
you have to do your research.
But shouldn't I be able to, as a science guy, shouldn't I be able to come in with an opposing view and question authority and say, wait a second, you're showing us something there. I know our taxpayer dollars are going to fund your deal. You're showing us something there that doesn't jive. So what gives? You see what I'm saying? But if they can censor me even to the extent of putting a tag underneath a video that I post out to show people my side of the story, that not all science guys agree with this particular deal, but they can do this to me and there ain't nothing I can do about it. Of course, now keep in mind, this is YouTube's platform. They can do whatever they want on their platform, but when it talks about going out on your own platform, and then this deal that was going through the EU about how they could block my website over in the UK, and they wouldn't be able to see it if somebody over there deemed that it wasn't truthful information or it wasn't worthy. You see what I mean? So that's a worldwide thing now. It's not just on YouTube anymore. In certain places, you can't see certain videos. In China, you can't see certain videos. You see what I mean?
Yeah, well, I just want to keep focused on this one moon landing thing because my own instincts, I go a lot by my own instincts, and I don't have any backup to basically prove to you that my instincts are correct, but I've lived in my whole life receiving, I guess you'd say, certain information instinctively, and I've pretty much been mostly on the mark. And I remember the so-called moon landing because I'm that age to remember it. And my instincts was that this doesn't seem, something seems fishy here. You know, I didn't have anything to back it up. And I wasn't a conspiracy, realist then. It's just my instincts on many things that I just listened to. And that's pretty much it. I didn't go crazy thinking, let me find the truth here or I'm going to prove that this is a hoax. I didn't do that. I just listen to my instincts, and then I let it go, and I go on with my life. But now all this other, this conspiracy stuff, or realist stuff about the hoax of the moon started to appear.
Well, the biggest red flag that should have been from the start, that somebody should have questioned way back then, was when the media wasn't allowed a direct feed from those cameras that come in.
Right.
They made them film it off of a TV. So they got a secondhand cruddy video with low resolution when they could have had an incredible video of them going. You see what I mean?
Well, I just popped in another link. I popped in two, but this one is debunk this. This is a conspiracy realist who claims proof of moon landing hoax can't be questioned. And this is what this person's talking about. He says that YouTube researcher StreetCap1 says NASA footage from the Apollo 15 mission shows the landings were faked. And I'm looking at that blurry video that you're just talking about. There was a sound of a hammer in a clip from NASA's Apollo 15 mission. According to StreetCap, NASA original video he found shows two astronauts preparing to plant a vacuum into the ground on the moon in an attempt to recover materials. And one then begins to hammer the object into the surface as the other watches. There's a video here on that. You could see it.
Yeah,
It is the sound of the hammering that has led StreetCap1 to say the footage could not have happened on the moon. In space and on the moon, there is no air, meaning there are no vibrations for sound to travel through.
That's right.
You know?
That's what they said, that it's a vacuum.
So there should not be any noise coming from that hammering, according to him, who is based in Scotland, by the way. There's a Scotland chap called StreetCap1, to all you Scottish brothers and sisters out there. In a promotion for his YouTube video, he said, all astronaut communication is through headset radio. Vibrations cannot travel through the vacuum, even to the astronaut's radio, so the hammer strokes should be silent, yet we can hear them.
Yeah.
Conclusion, either there is air on the moon or NASA faked the Apollo 15 program. And he has convinced some followers, so first man on the moon in pictures, you look at these photographs are here on this link. One wrote, sound can definitely travel in a studio. Wake up to the hoax, people. And another added, how would NASA explain this? A real and authentic NASA answer would be very interesting. But one viewer said it could have happened on the moon. He said, as he hammers the vibrations of the sound travel up his arm and into his suit's mic. Okay. That's why the hammering is so dull. Now, there's another video here about Neil Armstrong squirms when quizzed on the moon landing, and there are people who actually study body language, though, that sort of discloses whether what you're speaking about is truthful, because when it's truthful, there's certain signs, the way a person sits or moves, that's called body language, that tells you that they're not maybe coming forth with truth, but the 49th anniversary of Neil Armstrong's first steps on the lunar surface take place in July, but many realists, conspiracy realists, I'm changing the word from conspiracy theorist people to realists across the globe, remain convinced it was the biggest cover-up of all time. The moon hoax conspiracy realists say a desperate president, John F. Kennedy, now think on this, who wanted to beat the Russians in the space race to the moon, ordered the production of a series of films in top secret studios to make it look like NASA astronauts made it to the moon's surface first. At the heart of the theory are claims that the radioactive Van Allen belt around Earth would have been lethal to fly through, and StreetCap 1 from Scotland says usually hunts through NASA footage for UFOs, but has been increasingly looking at the moon landings. He appears to now believe that they were staged. There are many skeptics who debunk moon landing hoax claims, as they are deniers. NASA does not comment on individual conspiracy realists. However, it has insisted repeatedly that the moon missions were not faked. Okay.
Well, did you know that it used to be illegal for the government to propagandize the American people? It used to be anti-propaganda laws. For decades, a so-called anti-propaganda law prevented the U.S. government mammoth broadcasting arm from delivering programming to American audience. But on July 2nd, that came silently to an end with the implementation of a new reform passed in January, the results in unleashing thousands of hours per week of government-funded radio TV programs. Basically, U.S. repeals propaganda ban, spreads government-made news stories to America. So, there ain't no way you could have known if anything was true or not, because the government was allowed to lie to you at a certain point. And at one point in time, it used to be illegal for them to lie to you. So even these mainstream media outlets that sit here that could be CIA assets or whatever can sit here and tell you a bold-faced lie. You know, NASA, which is part of the government, they get a lot of money, and you have to ask the question, if they fake the moon landing, where did all that money go? And if they're still perpetuating a lie by saying they're sending rockets up to test for this or that, then where's all that money going? What's the true purpose of what they're doing? You see what I mean? So this goes a whole lot farther than just censorship alone. I mean, it delves into, they're always talking about election tampering. What better way to election tamper if you can get on there and say that any candidate is, not able to get out on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube? That's how they got Obama elected, was they used the social media, and they realized how powerful the social media was, and they was able to manipulate and get him elected, not once, but twice. And then when it turned around and backfired in their face and it got Trump elected, suddenly it's now an issue, and now we got to ban any conservative views on the deal so that we can get our people back in power again. So it's not just about whether or not you agree with my moon landing video or not. It's about whether or not they have the right to, or the power to sit there and either, if they don't like what I'm saying, put some sort of disclaimer on there saying that I might not be telling the truth, which puts that seed of doubt in somebody's head that if I'm showing valid information, that even what you just explained there, Barbara, that those are valid questions and need to be answered, but they're not being answered. And if you ask these questions, suddenly you're a conspiracy nut. You see what I mean?
Well, that's what I do. Well, the thing is, so I think we're also now finding out that NASA actually has, that there is technology. It may not be through NASA, but it's there is technology far advanced that they're keeping secret. And not allowing us to know this. They have advanced technology. I mean, we know, for instance, about the cover-up of the UFO at Roswell. we know this, if you look at that event, the immediate news items that came out are interviewing, you know, the farmer and other people that were privy to this that actually saw this UFO. And then it was all covered up, saying that, you know, once the authorities got there, the military and so on got there, well, they changed the whole story the next day or so, that the story was different. Now the story is that it was, I don't know, balloons or something, weather balloons.
But it doesn't surprise me that they would actually have advanced technology, because they've had so much money to play with all these years, and most generally, if it's anything government-related and national security-related, they're going to use this for military purposes. So whatever they design, they want to have the most powerful military, so they'll have futuristic-style airplanes and all this, like the stealth bomber. You did, when you first saw that back in, I think the first time I ever accidentally saw it and my family saw it, we thought it was a UFO, but it wasn't. But it was a black ops project at the time. It was classified. Nobody even knew that thing was around at that time. It didn't get introduced to mainstream until years after we saw it the first time. But if you'd have saw it back then, it looked like a triangular shape ship, and because of its altitude and how a thing actually flies, it looked like it was just kind of hovering across the deal. But we found out years later that it was a stealth bomber that was out there at Richard Gebauer Air Force Base all along. We didn't know it. You see what I mean?
What year was that?
I'm thinking 79 or 80, somewhere around about.
Okay, so here's a story for you. So in the 50s, about 1954, 1955, was the first sighting I ever had of a UFO, but I was with my whole family. Now, I live here down in the Hudson Valley, which is pretty much known as the capital of UFO sightings in the Hudson Valley here. Pine Bush being one of the major places where over many, many years, strange happenings, strange sightings, woo-woo stuff going on and so on. But the whole Hudson Valley here had, during that period of time, in the 80s especially, were significant sightings. But let me tell the story about the first sighting I had. So I'm a teenager, and with my cousins and my brothers and sisters, we were up on our second story back porch, screened-in porch, in the summer in the 1950s, I'll say 1954, around there, 1955. And behind our house was a large field with woods, and across the highway behind that was this 50-some acres of wild place, and a hidden valley in there, a very deep hidden valley, by the way. And we used to go back there exploring and playing in that area. It was quite amazing. The mountain and the hillsides there, we used to sleigh ride down. They were quite steep, and on the other side was a big mountain. So it's a hidden area. And so we're sitting back there on the porch. It's summer. It's a summer evening. And suddenly I see something draws my attention. And look over across the back fields. And there, rising up from this hidden valley, is this huge disc with a cap on it. Typical UFO, sightings in that period of time was the big round disc with a cap on the top. I just say like a turned over saucer with a cup on top of it. And it was just hovering in the air. And there were all these colored lights around it, various colored lights. And I alerted everyone there with me, my relatives, and we were just sitting there watching it. And it was just hanging there. I guess you'd say it was quite large. It was hard to, of course, determine the size of it, but it was very big. And then it started to move very slowly across the sky, and we ran downstairs and got my parents. So everybody's outside in the street looking at this unidentified object in the sky, traveling very slowly across the sky, and then it disappears. And now this is 1954. And, you know, nobody knows what this is. It's certainly, you know, a strange thing. I never saw anything like that before. My dad, who was in the Navy, did not know what this was either. And that was pretty much forgotten never talked about it, and this seems to be a pattern I've had over the years with that. But so now I'm looking at this, talking with you today, I'm looking at this and the government's advanced technology that nobody knows about. Okay, so now Roswell was in the 50s also, and that pretty much I feel was an actual crash of a UFO because of what the farmer said and the other people there who saw it and that were interviewed by the newspapers. You can see the newspaper interview and what they said, and then a complete change in that the government stepped in and said, no, it was just balloons falling from the sky or something, and the whole thing was covered up. And people actually who kept this thread going about the reality of this were threatened. And they talked about that years later, how they were threatened not to talk about this. So you have to question why. So my question is, okay, 1954, we saw this first UFO in that shape. I have seen others over the years in different shapes. And but something changed with these particular sightings, because sightings go back from pretty much the beginning of time.
Yeah.
So it's not just suddenly in the 50s, but when they dropped the bomb during World War II, Nagasaki and Hiroshima, there were suddenly a lot of reports of sightings of UFOs. It's almost like this energy that happened here on the Earth of the dropping of those bombs brought UFOs, okay? People look at that and they say, okay, it's almost like we broadcast something out into the universe and the universe responded and saying, what the heck is going on there? And that was alarming. And you also have stories, and these are from military people who say that they have seen UFOs around the nuclear plants and nuclear weaponry, that they have shut these things down. Why would the government do that?
Nothing surprises me, but what surprises me is the fact that they want to hide anything like that. That you would think that somebody coming from a different planet or whatever, you know, or some sort of really impressive craft, that would be something that they would want the public to be aware of. If you happen to see this thing, let us know where it's at, and, you know, we'll track it, we'll find out what's going on, that kind of thing. But the secrecy of whether or not, you know, they just want to capture this thing and reverse engineering or whatever, or even to the extent that a lot of these sightings were, at least from a certain point, were black ops projects where they had all this money funneled into, doing this. You know, it feeds the whole conspiracy thing to begin with. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you also have the reports from indigenous peoples. Indigenous peoples, which wouldn't speak about these things, of course, you know, basically to protect themselves from being, you know, carried away and put in an insane asylum.
Well, I don't doubt that they saw them, honestly, because I've seen things that I can't explain myself, but I don't doubt that they saw them. The whole doggone thing is that it's just the censorship, the suppression, and all the craziness that's going on would have everybody else out there down. We even got to try to...
You want the people, if you're the controllers, if you have your plan, which they have, your agenda, and it's bigger than we can imagine, you need your people. You need the masses dumbed down, ignorant, and not interested.
Yeah.
You need the masses not questioning. You need the masses complicit. So, basically, I want to say about the indigenous people that they knew and have spoken about what we call in Lakota tradition the Wikchopi Oyate, which are the star being relatives, the star people. Okay, now there's a difference, okay? So, they speak about this, and they speak about that these are our relatives, our teachers, and so on, and they don't question the reality of other beings. at all. So now you have a new system appearing where some of the people, indigenous people, and I got this information from the book from from Artie Sixkiller, who interviewed a lot of indigenous people, who talked finally after many, many years of their personal experiences with UFOs and ETs, and some of the stories speak about a change. Now, the change I'm going to describe to you happened much later than the early reports of indigenous peoples who for generations carried these stories down and spoke about the star people, that they are our teachers and our brothers and relatives and so on. The change was spoken about in Artie Sixkiller's book from some of these people, indigenous people on the reservations who had experiences with UFOs and ETs that were different from what their generations, their grandmas and grandpas had told them about, these are our relatives kind of thing, they don't hurt us, they are teachers, and so on, and they care about this planet Earth, and they're concerned about the planet Earth. Okay, so the change was, that in reports by some of these indigenous people, that they were actually violated, that they were experimented on. And this was a new thing. And one of the elders, the guy was an elder by then, happened to him like, you know, 25 or so years prior to his discussing this with Artie Sixkiller, said that these ETs were very different from what his grandmas and grandpas told him about. These were not friendly people, these were experimenting on me, and so on and so forth. And that's the change that happened that brought to my attention. So, okay, so what happened here? Then you have the story, this is documented, of the ones from the Hopi people talk about the blue feather ETs. They don't call them ETs, but they call them the blue feather star people, who basically, at a period of time when Eisenhower was in office as president, went to Eisenhower because they were concerned about the nuclear proliferation, the nuclear weaponry. They were deeply concerned, and they went to President Eisenhower and said to him that we will bring technology to you, to your people, your country, to help people if you promise us to stop the nuclear weaponry. And of course, that didn't happen. The next thing that happened, the Hopi say, are the Grays, who are really not the good ETs, I guess you'd say, went to the president and said, no, we'll give you all the technology that you need to do whatever you want with, but we want permission. We want this not to be disclosed, but we want to take people, we want to abduct your people or anyone we want to experiment on the people. And that was agreed upon. In other words, they wanted this to be covered up. So the cover-up is basically deny the fact that there are ETs, that there are UFOs, that people are conspiracy wackos. So the government basically covered this whole thing up. Then skip to Bob Dean. You can Google Bob Dean. Okay, Bob Dean was a commander in the military. That was his career. And he was in a place where he was basically around a lot of archives. That was where he was stationed. And he just became, I don't know, curious one night, he says, or suspicious, and wondered what the heck was in all these, you know, rooms with all these files, hundreds and hundreds of files with microfilms. And one night he said he went in there and just decided to take a look, which was basically, he was not allowed to do this, so he started looking through the microfilms and discovered the cover-up for years of cover-up of UFOs that the government knew about, ETs, and their collusion with these factions of ETs and so on. So Bob Dean then quit his lifelong, you know, commitment to the government and then went out and started discussing the cover-up, the blue book, you know, the government had the blue book of all these truths about their cover-up of UFOs and ETs. So they wanted to cover this up because they were basically utilizing the, you know, the information from these, I guess you'd say, the corrupt ETs or the dark ones, to utilize for their own power, and they didn't care whether they were abducting people. They didn't give a crap because they're the dark elite, the cabal. Well, they want, you know, that, so this is what we're talking about.
Maybe that has something to do in the censorship portion of why they are, they're trying to suppress information, such as, you know, if I see something in the sky and I get it on video and I put it on YouTube and I tell everybody it's a UFO and they don't want nobody to see it, they can shut me down in a heartbeat. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's a deal where they're talking about silencing the internet. The U.S. Senate just voted 97-2 to pass to allow states and victims to fight online sex trafficking act. It's FOSTAHR 1865, a bill that silences online speech by forcing internet platforms to censor their users. As lobbyists and members of Congress applaud themselves for enacting the law tackling the problem of trafficking, let's be clear, Congress just made trafficking victims less safe. Anyway, that's just a short version. I can pass this link on into you if you want to read the full article on there, but it's the whole thing is that, you know, like that whole thing that went on about Pizzagate, which is another buzzword that you can't say on there because YouTube will censor you for that. But it's the fact that if somebody has, you know, information that this is possibly a real thing and they try to share it with people, they can't share it freely, you know? And so that by saying that the internet can be censored by the platforms that you're trying to share the information on because it may be deemed to be, you know, a lie or whatever, then if it was a reality, you just made the people who were victims of this thing less safe. You see what I mean? So they can't sit there and try to say, you know, we need to shut up opposing views because it's opposing views that are doing like what we're doing right now, where we're questioning, which we're allowed to by our Constitution, to question our government. We're allowed, you know, a remedy for when our government gets out of control and such. And keep in mind, people, I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. But if one person has the only say in anything, especially during election seasons, that's a dangerous deal. Because if you go out and you listen to all the majority of the mainstream media, it's all liberal bias on one side, with the exception of the supposed difference being Fox News or whatever. But even to their extent, I've seen them do you know, things that were shady when it comes to certain candidates that they didn't like that weren't Democrats. So both sides of the fence are dirty on that kind of deal as far as I'm concerned, but one side a whole lot more than the other side. And so Trump got elected because of social media. Trump got elected because the people were sick and tired of being lied to by the mainstream media. Every single time one of these stories would come out and people would get out there and research like what happened during supposed school shootings or terrorist attacks or even all the way back to 9/11, when the people saw all this information being presented to them and questioned the mainstream narrative, that's when the censorship began. That's when the false flagging of videos began. That's when the adpocalypse happened on YouTube, where certain advertisers were threatened by lobbyists and special interest groups, and they said, we're going to, what's that word where you don't buy their product? We're going to boycott all your products if you don't get these people censored. And so big companies went in there and told YouTube, we're pulling our advertisement out because you got to get this place cleaned up. And so that's where the whole thing started as far as financial on YouTube. But it all started from censorship, of only being able to tell one side of the story. If you disagreed with climate change, you're a climate change denier, you're censored. If you disagree with the moon landing, you're censored. If you have any kind of conspiracy, you're censored. If you say any key words and even to the extent of bad words. You know, we don't say bad words here on Shaziz Radio because we're trying to be respectful to everybody. I mean, we do that out of choice, but not out of censorship. On YouTube, on the other hand, they will actually have an AI that every time you upload a video, if you say one word on there that is deemed to be a certain rating, then you won't. Anyone under 18 can't see your video. And in certain countries, your video could be blocked because of certain words that you said or certain things that you, subjects that you talked about.
So what do you say to the fact that recently, excuse me, Netflix, this was a couple of months ago, Netflix, this created an alarm across the board. Netflix put out a movie that was very graphic, pornographically with children. They put that out on Netflix. What do you say to that? Then you say, okay, so you have somebody talking about the moon landing, that it's fake, they're banned. Okay, or mainstream media is, you know, owned by a cabal, okay, which by the way, I have a link to all that, the 13 bloodlines, if you want to go into that, because this is research that's done, it's very real. So, but there's somebody or someone's or persons, people's, that are deliberately banning certain things and allowing other things that are pretty vile and shocking.
Let me jump on that bandwagon for a second. And I'm actually going to name a YouTube channel out there because here's the thing. It doesn't matter to me whether you despise Christianity or whether you're an atheist or whether you don't like Christians or whatever. But there is an individual out there that goes by the deal Amazing Atheist. And this guy has some of the most offensive things that he says on his YouTube. Now, keep in mind, he's actually cleaned his act up a little bit because YouTube AI keeps costing him money. But he's got a lot of viewership, and he says some of the most vile and offensive things to any Christian that you could possibly imagine. All right? And so, on one hand, he's allowed to do this. But if a Christian comes out and says something against any other subject that might be considered taboo these days, you can't talk about, you know, the gay agenda or anything like that, otherwise you could be banned. But on the other hand, it's because you're offending somebody, it's called a hate speech or whatever, and you can be banned off of YouTube, or if your views are, you know, anything that are not politically correct, you can be banned off YouTube. However, this character is still allowed to this very day to be offensive to one section of society, but, you know, it doesn't matter unless it's on the opposite. So the hypocrisy of what's going on is flat out ridiculous, because you could say this on both Democrats and Republican side, conservative and liberal side. Liberals are going out there beating people up at rallies, and that's all right to put that on YouTube, all right? That's fine. That's violence. They're cussing. They're doing all kinds of filthy stuff. And if somebody comes out to be like pro-Trump or pro-conservatism, and they're not sitting there cussing on there, but they're pointing out what these folks are down there beating people up and hitting them with padlocks and stuff like that, and, you know, graphic deals, they're getting banned. Their sites are getting shut down because, they're supposed hate speech or whatever. This is the danger that we're in right now. If you can't sit there and show both sides of the story and the truth, you know, if you can't talk about certain subjects, but they still allow all this filth to come on there, like the movie you talked about on Netflix. I hadn't even seen it, but thank God I didn't, because I'd have been in an uproar. I'll have to look into it. But, you know, because I subscribe to Netflix. I watch movies on there all the time. But if they're putting trash on there like that, I don't want to support that. You see what I mean?
Well, a lot of people actually, it was quite a wave, people's shock and also disgust, and a lot of people were pulling out pulling out from Netflix because of that. I don't know if it made a difference, frankly, but people's voices need to be heard, and they have a right to that. So just looking at what's going on in the moment, a week ago, or not even a full week ago, I don't have the date, but so the Great Awakening is a QAnon board where there's that appeared, you know, it's almost now over a year, and we've talked about that. Patty and I have talked about that that particular informative link, but there's other links that are also speaking about the government conspiracy, the mainstream media conspiracy, the 13 bloodlines that are in control of pretty much everything, every system that we are under, you know, the banking, the political, the education, and even the religious system, by the way. And all these things are being disclosed, and they're being disclosed on this, these particular boards. And suddenly, so you have a channel or a link where there are over 275,000 people involved speaking about truths, lies, and working towards finding the truths of things, sharing information, and so on about the cover-ups, about the reality of our the controlling governments and the deep state and so on, suddenly wiped away, completely gone. Numerous people who have their own, for instance, their own video sites, like you, for instance, completely wiped away, gone. Now, even if you don't agree, you have to say, if you don't agree with what these people are discovering or speaking about, that's your right to not agree, but it is also their right, okay, constitutionally, their right. Okay, they are not putting up pornography, they are not cursing left and right, they are not putting up vile things. They're just sharing information, discussing things, and trying to find the truth of what is really going on. They're gone, wiped out. So even if you don't agree with what anyone was saying on these Chan boards, or anyone, some person who has a video like Praying Medic or Just Informed or someone who's or speaking the truth about things from their perspective and also doing research and sharing this information, it's legitimate information. It's nothing vile, nothing shocking. It, in a sense, as far as you know.
Well, even if it isn't perfectly legitimate, even if they made a mistake in the deal, you still have to be able to have an open dialogue and debate.
Well, this is our constitution. Yeah. But this is so our constitution is being attacked. This what you should be concerned about. This everyone, even if you don't agree with what we're saying here. And you log off because, well, you say, well, they're a bunch of, you know, conspiracy nut whack-a-doodles. You have a right to say that. You have a right to log off.
Yeah.
But we have our constitutional right to speak the truth.
That's
and
right.
Sometimes, or our perspective. And I have to say that sometimes, so because we have free speech in our constitution, this is a conundrum because we have some people that are really pushing out vile stuff, shocking stuff. And it's hard because they have a right to do that.
Yep.
But so then just shut it off, I'm saying. Turn it off. But to censor, see, this is the censorship is ramping up, and talk about Orwell, this is where we're heading. Complete censorship by those who want to control what we know and feed us what they want us to know. This is where we are today. So it doesn't matter if you agree with so-and-so or this or that, or even me. I have a right to speak my truth according to our Constitution. But we see today people like you and me and others are basically being censored by the cabal, by the deep state, who run Google, who run YouTube, who run this and so on. This is where we are today. So we should all be concerned, because this, they're attacking our Constitution, and this is where we are today.
Well, I honestly believe there's two sides to this story. I, as crazy as it might sound, I honestly believe that there are those behind the scenes who actually try to help reroute this show alone just to try to keep it on going so that people hear what we're saying. Because I know we come under attack. I sit here and watch what's going on with the servers and stuff. I mean, I'm seeing it firsthand. I know that we come under denial of service attacks. Where's it coming from? When we hit certain keywords or certain subjects, either we get attacked by doggone Skype's AI versions or whatever, or what for whatever reason, there's certain subjects when we hit on them, we start seeing problems. You know, we don't have that other times when we're just out there just talking about random stuff. So this is a real thing. And even on YouTube, I've seen it. I uploaded videos, and you know how I talk on this radio show here. When I upload videos, I'm not on there cussing at people. I'm not on there telling people, you know, I don't like them because of the color of their skin or their personal preferences or anything like that. I'm just talking about alternative energy and trying to help people, you know, open their mind to research and development of new technologies. And so when I get my videos basically censored by, they'll say, you know, it's not ad friendly or whatever. And so it's demonetized right out of the gate, which demonetizing my video is a joke anyway, because if I made a penny off of it in a year, it'd be a miracle. But that's neither here nor there. They wanted the advertisement. I figured they're going to force them on me eventually, so I figured if they're going to throw a few pennies in the bucket, then that's all right. I'll use it for some wire to do experiments with. However, when I'm actually doing what I've been doing forever, and they start demonetizing and basically stealing pennies out of my pocket just because I say there's free energy in the world, you know, I might be deemed to be, you know, a wacko, a conspiracy, or a fraud, or whatever. Nothing I say can be proven scientifically not factual, because everything I base my science on is science. It's observation, and what I'm showing people isn't a fraud, because they can test it themselves. But they demonetize my videos, and it happens quite frequently, because of maybe a word I might say, or whatever. And I'm not out here, like I said, I'm not out here foul-mouthing anybody, but I can't have my say. Supposedly I've got 8,000, almost 500 subscribers on YouTube, but my video views don't reflect that, because now they've got it set up that if you don't go and click on this notification bell, anytime I upload a video, you won't be notified that I uploaded a video. And so 8,500 people that supposedly subscribe to me don't even know I'm even on YouTube anymore. You see what I mean? Plus, they took away the interaction between, they used to have it where you could actually go on and talk back and forth to your friends, and you could actually keep track of your friends better on YouTube, and it was like more like a community, but they separated all that, so now, you know, not only is it harder to find things anymore, but you don't have that close interaction. And there's people that come on YouTube that have known me for years since I started my YouTube channel that, like, wow, I didn't even know you were still around. I just stumbled onto one of your videos. And I'm like, well, I've been here all along. I just wondered where everybody went.
Well, you're saying a dirty word, free energy.
Yeah.
Free energy sets up an algorithm from the cabal that doesn't want free energy to be known about. But listen to this. Okay, this is Bob Dean speaking. He's talking about the government scientists, okay? Basically, here's where we are. The government, those in the authorities, okay? And even the military planners know about these things. And many of them say, we're not going to disclose this. You know why? Because the people will never be prepared for that. The people can't handle it. So they're treating us like a bunch of imbeciles, like we can't handle the truth, you see.
Well, I think we'd be better off to know the truth, that way we could respond to it accordingly and be prepared in case things went crazy. If suddenly we come down under some sort of alien attack, I'm just saying hypothetically, science fiction, science fact, or whichever way you want to look at it. We come under alien attack, and it's a blindsided surprise. Suddenly, the only one that knew about it was the military. The average Joe's left out in the storm because we didn't even know they were here. You see what I mean? I would rather
know.
Yeah,
well, I think anything about an ET invasion is going to be a false flag, in my estimation, for a purpose, for a reason
how
you create a problem, then you create the solution. But so here's what he says, if you want to talk about free energy. So he's saying roughly about 12 years ago, I don't know when this, I'm not going to look back, but this is probably longer now, I've heard from a number of independent sources, they did indeed pull off a sustained controlled fusion reaction at Los Alamos using lasers. In itself, this little piece of scientific knowledge can blow the world up in terms of global economics. Fusion means endless cheap power. Think what it could do to the oil companies, the auto industry, steel industry, and world economy. So he says, this is basically, this is, they're not going to release this information. We could have massive world economic collapse, starvation, riots, blood in the streets. Basically, it's like a house of cards is going to fall around us.
Well, see, that, you know? Is, that to me, that's just crazy as all get out. That, you know, that's their so-called excuse for, we, you know, it's going to cause all these problems, because there are situations like, for example, in crude oil, do the people out there realize how many different products actually come from crude oil? We're talking plastics, rubber, and all different types of stuff like that actually come up out of that product. So they're never going to be broke. They're never going to go completely out of business. They're still going to be able to sell their product, because you're still going to need plastic parts, rubber tires, and even surgical gloves and all that kind of stuff that comes from, all the byproducts that they make out of crude oil and such. I can't remember the scientific terminology for what I just said, but either way, the reality is they're always going to have products. They're always going to be able to sell gasoline. They're always going to be able to sell diesel. Even if these new technologies come on here, it's not going to change anything, because first off, they probably own the patent on it anyway, and so they're still going to be able to charge you for electricity, even though it's free energy for them. You think about the oil that's in the ground. All right, they got to pay to get it out of the ground, but they're making a killing on it once they do get it out of the ground. The gas, same thing. It's coming for free to them because they own the land that it's on, and they're selling it to you. So everything that they get, even the hydroelectric, all the way down to even the nuclear power plants, once those uranium rods are highly refined and in there doing their job, it's all free to them. Most of it was paid for by you, the consumer, and you, the taxpayer. They get subsidies from the government to keep them in business. So they are never going to be hurting for money. And it's not going to start a worldwide calamity where everybody starves to death or anything like that. If anything, this new technology could be put in places out there, such as places, in third, what they classify as, I hate that terminology, but what they classify as third world nations, because now they would have access to fresh water, air conditioning and heating and, everything that they needed to actually raise their standard of living up. But you can't raise the standard of living up in a place like Africa that is so incredibly mineral rich and then keep control of that country. That's the whole doggone deal, because if Africa was ever to be able to use their resources for their financial system, they could actually end up being the only superpower on the planet, because they have the money to do so. And they have the resources to feed every single person out there. So this is all a manipulation between everybody, even when it comes to over there in the Middle East. The only reason why the United States or any other country is over there in the Middle East is to control whether or not a gas pipeline goes to Russia one direction, or whether or not the oil is sold under the dollar or the yen or whatever version of money that they deem to be the best or whatever. Right now it's the dollar bill. And so that's the only reason why we're even over there. We don't even need their oil. We never needed their oil. And they knew it all along. But these new technologies would nip that in the bud, because why go over there and fight for oil if you got an energy source that you can now implement to run your vehicles and run your electricity? These people know it. You know, and the Congress and the Senate, you know, they might have a clue that this is possible, but they are only fed whatever information that they get. Even the president himself, when he comes in there, he's debriefed about certain subjects or whatever, but he's not told the entirety of everything. If he knew everything and actually utilized his constitutional powers to be the executor over the United States, he might make different choices that would put us on the path to helping everyone in the world instead of just a little tiny bit of global elitists that want to get us and keep us under control. That's the whole entire deal. We've never had an energy crisis. This whole global warming scam is nothing more than stealing from the American people and stealing from the people of the world in the same process. They're using bogus science and propaganda. They're indoctrinating our kids to believe in things that aren't even true. And then they're turning around, and then when these kids get up out of school, half of them can't even read. Half of them don't know mathematics, and they don't know a whole lot that would be beneficial so that they could be productive in society, get them a really good job, and so on. So this is where we're at, folks. And now there's only one way to fix it. And that's when the average Joe says, enough's enough. We're not going to be censored no more. We're not going to have our ideas and our technology suppressed. And we're not going to keep paying this system that keeps on basically raping the land and molesting the people. That's what's going on. And for me to say that, that's a reason for censorship. That's the reason why all the alphabet soups would want to come in here and shut a guy like me up. I ain't nobody. I'm just a guy that's shouting out loud. I'm like that movie Chicken Run. The guy saying, hey, let's build this and get over the fence. Alright? They don't want us over the fence. They don't want you out of the box. And that's why we're here where we're at. Sorry for ranting there, Barbara.
Well, that's okay. I'm thinking, you know, because Bob Dean spoke about the technology that we have. We have free energy already. They have that already, but they're keeping it from us because, you know what? If they let that out and we all were given the free energy, which we really rightfully should, there would be no wars.
Yep, there wouldn't be.
There would be no wars, but they need war. They need war, okay? And you have to say, well, okay, why do they need war? Who are they, first of all? It's like, you know, those, who are they? We keep saying, they say they did this and so on.
One of them said war was profitable.
War is profitable. I mean, big time.
How to get out of the Great Depression was to go to war. You start a war and you get people back.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think, you know, they set up the Depression, though.
Yep.
They set up the breakdown, the fall down, the crash. They set this up. Excuse me, so that they can go to war. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, they can sell medicine, guns, drugs, ammunition, you name it. And even the food industry would benefit. You know, everybody benefits during war because you got to feed the army, you got to keep them patched up when they go out there and get shot or whatever. And, you know, regardless of the fact that once the veterans come home, then they're treated like trash, they don't even exist, or, you know, most of them die waiting on medical attention. So the ridiculousness of what they promised people as opposed to what they deliver to people, that should have been a red flag a long time ago. But the people of America, for the most part, are really seriously complacent. However, they're beginning to wake up and get really seriously annoyed. Once that sleeping giant is awake, these guys know they're in trouble. And when this alternative media started doing what it was doing, that scared them. That's why the censorship came into play, because you can't have people telling the truth out there when you want to propagandize the other people so that you can get them to vote a certain direction. Whether you believe it's the Republican or the Democrat or a combination of the two, nonetheless, you got to shut these people down. Otherwise, your agenda is not going to make it through. These people are trying desperately to stay in power, and they're losing their grip on us. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing. Am I wrong?
Well, I think that I see the ramping up of assaults and you know, the basically shutting people down, shutting us up. Why? If we're just a bunch of conspiracy nutcases, why are they bothering?
Why not just let us babble on? Oh, they're just a bunch of idiots. No, if we weren't even hitting on the truth, they wouldn't even waste their time with it.
So there's a reason. So that has to tell you something.
Yep.
If they're screaming their heads off, you know, and censoring us now full-time across the board, really eliminating another perspective, but yet we're a bunch of nutcases, we're insignificant, and we're telling whatever stories, and we have no proof.
Well,
why are they censoring us? Why is there a sudden censorship across the board happening here, ramping up, because they're running scared? because we are speaking truths. You know, because we are.
If the moon landing was real, why destroy the data? Wouldn't that be like a national treasure? It belongs to the people. All that information, you know, the telemetry data, how we got to the moon, wouldn't that be worth something?
Well, if we got to the moon so long ago during Kennedy's presidency, why haven't we been back?
Yeah, that's another question.
It would be easy, right? If we got there so easily, why weren't we back? Why haven't we already settled there on the moon? Why haven't we set up systems like they're talking about now? We're heading to space.
Obama said, we already done that. We already been there, done that.
We've done that, been there. Yeah. So easy. It was really easy. Been there, done that. We've got people there already. We're, you know, resources up there and resources. Now we made it to the moon, so let's go to Jupiter. Yeah. Let's go over there where they're saying there's water on that planet now and it's livable on that planet. Let's go there. Why haven't we been there?
Well, that's why the questions keep coming in. That's why the conspiracies keep coming out. And as far as censorship or conspiracy, I think it's a combination of both. That was the question. Censorship or conspiracy? I think it's both. The CNC program. What do you think?
Right.
Because
I think
is.
So too. I it's obvious to me that they're running scared because we see things ramping up. We see, you know, we do. So when, let's look at it this way. If you have created a club, a powerful club, where you pull in certain peoples, and utilize them, use them for your benefit, they haven't a clue what you're doing, but they think, oh wow, I made the club. But the ones who started the club are these bloodlines. We're talking about the 13 bloodlines, and they started the club. People call it the elite. People call it the cabal or the whatever, Luciferians, the Illuminatists, or Masons. Or it's all the same. But if you started a club, if you got a bright idea that you could control the masses and control various things that would put money in your pocket, you got this bright idea, and some of your cronies said, yeah, I like that idea. Let's do it, because we can control the masses. We can set this place up the way we want. We can do whatever we want. We just feed the masses what we want them to know, dumb them down so they have no critical thinking, disconnect and dissociate them from their true nature. You know, let's do this. We can enslave them. We can be on top of this pyramid. We can own everything. We can be beyond wealthy. Okay? So you have that club, and then suddenly at some period in time, people are starting to say, wait a second. Wait a minute. I don't like this. Let's find out what's going on here. So you start, you have this awakening, people getting smarter, awakening, and critical thinking, you know, making its way back into the numbness and dumbness of people on some level. The ones that created this club, this cabal, this elite controlling faction, they're not going to be happy. They don't want to lose their position. When they want to go to war because they need more money in their bank account or whatever, or buy some island or whatever they want to do with it, or just give them a thrill, if you want to call it a blood sacrifice, whatever it is, because to me it's a blood sacrifice war. Blood sacrifice, giving payback to the Luciferian or Satan who wants the dark to rule over what is sacred, what is so sacred, this creation. We are sacred. I mean, children, we are sacred. We are, we have a fundamental nature, which is one with the Creator. Our Creator, doesn't matter the name you give it or whatever, but we had original instructions given to us. We had the wisdom within us, and then you have these factions, these controllers who didn't like that idea. They got the bright idea to control everything, become the wealthiest people in the world. Now they see us talking about this, so they set up an algorithm that will eliminate whatever you're talking about if it goes against them or speaks the truth. So now we have censorship ramping up, that you may be censored someday. Will you like that? If you have an opinion, just a perspective that you feel strongly about, or you have found out something and you speak about it, you're going to be censored. Will you like that? Because that's where we're headed. We have a constitution here that is about, we have the right to free speech. We have the right to read a particular book that we would like to read, even if the others don't agree upon this book. We have these rights, and this is being slowly chipped away, and it's for a plan, a bigger plan. So the elite, the cabal, the controllers, whoever they are, you want to talk about them, there's the Astor bloodline, the Bundy bloodline, the Collins bloodline, the DuPont bloodline, the Freeman bloodline, the Kennedy bloodline, by the way, the Lee bloodline, the Onassis bloodline, the Rockefeller bloodline, the Rothschild bloodline, the Russell bloodline, the Van Dune bloodline, and the Merovingian bloodline. That's the 13 bloodlines. Patty and I were listening to this video. Not listening, we were watching this this link by a Rothschild, one of the Rothschilds. He didn't disclose who he was, but he said he was a Rothschild, and he gave certain proofs to show that that person writing, responding to people who was questioning, that he, this person, was a Rothschild. And one thing that this person disclosed was that it's sort of like a rule of law, where we must tell you people, you peons, basically, because that's what he was indicating, you people who are not of a bloodline, who are not of the elite, just the masses of people, we must tell you the truth of what we're doing. We disclose it, but you're so stupid and ignorant that you don't really see that we're disclosing the truth to you. And so, because you deny it, because you can't imagine what we're doing, because it's beyond your comprehension. Because it's so shocking that you deny it and you don't want to look that way. You want to hide, you know, on your couch, or you want to stay tuned to your stupid TV shows, or you want to take the bottle and drink yourself silly, or drug, or whatever. So this person, this Rothschild, said, we have to, according to our rule of law, show you and tell you what we are doing, what our plan is. And they do that through the media. They do that through movies, they do that through books, they do that through various things that are unspeakable stuff, but it's a movie. Oh, it's just a movie. Just like Jericho, right?
Yep. Well, I'm going to throw another monkey in the mix here. Here's a crazy scenario that people might not have even actually thought about. There's a New York Times article. I'll post it into the chat room over there at the Super Chat. But basically, it's New York Times talking about this whole deal about people being censored, that conservatives are being censored by big tech and social media platform. They're basically trying to say it's all a lie, and that it's the Chinese that are doing it. The Chinese keep hacking Google and all this kind of craziness. But I want both sides of the story out there, I'll put this article down there if you want to take the time to read it. But basically, you know, you got to have a boogeyman. It's like the Russians hacked the election. That's why old Hillary didn't get elected. It had nothing to do with her corruption or the information that was leaked out about emails, or even the fact that she got by with doing a lot of crime as far as destroying subpoenaed information that actually belonged to the government and such. It actually belonged to the people. It had nothing to do with that. It was the Russians that hacked it. Now it's the Chinese that hacked it. These folks have been trying to get us in war with Russia. They've been trying to get us in war with China. They've gotten us in wars with people in the Middle East and all over the place by using their propaganda, doing whatever it is. Now they want us to look at China like China's an enemy. All right? And even though China may not treat their people very well, and even though they might do a lot of, you know, stealing the technology, you got to give them folks credit. They build really good products. They send them over here. They sell them to you cheap. And just because they're out doing you in business don't mean you need to go to war with them.
Well, I don't know if they sell us very good products, frankly. I'm going to disagree with you.
Well, I love their electronics. I've been buying electronics from China.
So that's one thing. But there's things that people have found out about some of their products that are basically poisoning people, and they're being withdrawn or taken back. And they don't have any restrictions. They don't have any guidelines in their I'm just saying.
Well, there's a video out there that said this guy was one of the manufacturers over in China, and he said that they only build the stuff the way that these companies want to buy them. And these companies want to be able to buy them really cheap, and so they want these people to cut corners on products and make these products cheaper out of cheaper materials.
Well, that's not, there's no, in other words, there's no government restrictions.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So,
you get junky screwdrivers. You buy a flathead screwdriver, and the first time you try to open up a screw with it, it's in tight. It'll twist like butter. They're junk. They're trash. But when it comes to their electronics, they're top of the line electronics. I got electronics all over from China that I bought really cheap that probably would have cost me a whole lot more here. But nonetheless, it's that open market, the way that they are doing it, the way these corporations are actually doing business with China, that's allowing them to become an industrial power, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, speaking of Hillary Clinton, it just found out that Hillary Clinton sold a lot of information technology, government technologies to China.
Yeah. She also sold uranium over there too, 20% of the world's uranium, United States uranium over there to the Soviet Union. The same one to talk about are trying to be our enemies or whatever. Why would you do that? Seriously.
Well, they, like I said, they want war. Their plan was to have war. We probably would have been to war right now. It was spoken about before the election by her about her wanting to go to war, taking care of Russia, the Russia problem. The Russia issue is the Indian issue, the black issue, the Russian issue, the this issue, the that issue. Those, who's speaking? I mean, these, what I'm talking about, these elite cabal people. Now, she's just a puppet. They're all puppets. And they have this connectedness to these elite bloodlines who are in control, who have been in control, goes back, way back in history. So, wake up, people.
Well,
this time, we're in an extraordinary time.
There's two reasons why they want us in a war with Russia, all right, and China. There's two reasons why. First off, if you listen to what China and Russia's both been saying, they're both trying to get away from the dollar. Both of them disagree with a whole, one world government kind of deal. If anybody wants to be in full power, they would want to be in full power or not at all. They're not going to join us as partners in the deal. That's not the way they operate. But they're not interested in the United Nations, other than the fact that they're, members or whatever. But they're not interested in, giving up their sovereignty or anything like that. And the financial issue is that, if Russia or China have their own particular dollar, that now it changes the game. You see what I'm saying?
Plus, well, they're denying the entrance of the government, our government's cabal.
Yep.
That's why they're the enemy.
That's
you
right.
See.
And besides that, get us into war with these two, and you get a massive reset, because we owe the Chinese a whole bunch of money. They keep buying up bonds and stuff like that. They're doing business. That's what they do. And they might do a full takeover without ever even firing a shot if they keep going financially. So if you get into war with them, hey, all bets are off, all debts are off, that kind of deal. You see what I mean? So that's the dirty deeds, and it's done by the bankers at the top, the ones, the families that you just mentioned on there. They know how to reset things so that they don't end up having to pay, or somebody else has to pay. Look what they did to Germany after World War II and such, There's a whole lot of stories that people don't realize. It's all a money game.
Well, what we're talking about here, what we're really talking about is greed, and we're talking about a systematic takedown of, to me, what is sacred. I mean, I questioned this, doing the research over the years and being on the talk shows and doing additional research and on and on and on, where you have to do this research, you have to go look at all aspects, all possibilities, in order to be able to share information and speak about it. And I always say, it's my perspective, or it's the research I've done. I'm not demanding or commanding anybody believe me. I'm just sharing information as we do, and my perspective, which I have a right to do, and you have a right to either listen, agree, deny, or run away, or shut down. That's fine.
Yep.
But if you do the research, you have to come to, which I did, you come to a conclusion about the level of evil that we are dealing with and how that's ramping up, and it's nothing new, it's historic really, and the level of lies that we have been told about our history. History is a big lie, it's a manipulated system. Like we say, the conquerors always write the history.
Yep.
And we have across the world been conquered, okay, by a cabal. So you think you have information because you went to school and you have history, you were taught history. Well, it's basically all a lie and contrived and manipulated to feed you wrong information so that you are subservient and basically contrite and just sit back and relax and think everything's fine when it really isn't, when the whole system is manipulating us, education system and religious system that we are finding more and more. I have to kind of like, I was talking last night to a friend about the level of evil in the Vatican. I said it's nothing new, it's centuries old. You can do the history research, and you should. Now it's coming out full-blown, more than it's ever been full-blown. And I had to laugh because the bishop, or rather the Vatican there, the Pope, when he came back from from Chile, and 37-some bishops resigned due to pedophilia in their church over there, the Pope came back and said he's responsible for that. And in his own words, and he said he's thinking, considering retiring. Now you have recently another bishop who basically is pointing to the Pope, saying that he was contrite and complicit in covering up another bishop's pedophilia, and that he should resign. And so these bishops are calling for the Pope to resign. Then the Pope comes out and says that these people are listening to Satan, that Satan is at work to divide the church. Well, guess what? I think that Satan has been in that church from the beginning, because it's been evil and horrible things that system has done to people's lives, and so on. And now you have him calling on five bishops, I think, recently, just the other day. He's calling on five bishops to come to discuss the problem of the pedophilia in the church. And I'm saying to myself, okay, so you who are complicit and say you are to blame are calling other bishops who have probably also been complicit and known about this to now deal with this issue, this problem that is centuries old. Why now? Well, then I saw this article where some of the dioceses in the country here are pulling back, holding back thousands of dollars that they donate annually to the Vatican. So now people are saying, wait a minute, we're not going to send the Vatican money because of this pedophilia stuff that's been going on. So now suddenly the Pope will say, uh-oh, wait, they're holding back money. We're losing our we're losing our annual payments from these dioceses who we've lied to and sent pedophilias to for centuries. We better do something. And it's all like, so you have a dirty house, and you call the rest of the dirty ones into that house to clean it up. You're the ones who have been holding this dirt in the house all along. You're going to clean your own house. It's a joke to me.
Yeah. I say, you know, as far as this whole censorship thing is, if somebody's out there and they're putting out flat-out lies and propaganda, and there's no rebuttal to it whatsoever, you know, people, if they're going to go that route, they need to be held accountable, I mean, criminally accountable, for if they put lies and propaganda out there and it can be proven to be so, that they're actually charged with it. Because you're now saying that one side of the story is going to be the only side of the story. There's no chance of rebuttal. Do you realize how many wars could get started over something as simple as this thing blaming China for censorship or hacking, or even Russia hacking and all this kind of jazz, trying to say that this is how a certain person got elected, and you gotta shut down the internet so that people can't get out there and share information with each other? This is a lot bigger than just censorship. This is a flat out conspiracy to control information on the internet. I mean, it's set one.
Well, it's to control information flat out across the board, to deny people's rights to know the truth or to even have a perspective across the board. So, like I said earlier, if you don't agree with the QAnon, if you don't agree with so-and-so, you, Praying Medic, anybody else who's giving a different perspective, and some of these other people, you know, the Hagman Report, I could go down the list of people who are not your mainstream media, who are individuals, basically, who are not connected to the cabal, not connected to mainstream media, but speaking truths and doing investigations and researches, and censoring them. It can happen to all of us, and it's going to happen to all of us. And if we're conspiracy nutcases, why are they so alarmed and censoring us if they think this is just a LARP, that we're a bunch of wackos? Why are they paying attention to us? Why are they interfering? Why are they intruding into these boards and trying to corrupt the information and divide people? Because it's the division, it's the divisiveness, it's the divide and conquer that they have been doing for, pitting us against each other. It's, okay, you're black, you're white, you're yellow, you're this, you're different, you're this, they're different, they're that. You have this religion, you're not. I mean, it's dividing us on all levels, on religion levels, on your color, on your perspectives, on your lifestyle. It's the dividing and conquer system that they have been pushing and pushing and pushing, and we're all fighting each other. We have to stop. We have to stop fighting each other, because that's part of the plan, is to keep us violent and angry and disconnected so that we can't be stronger, because together we are stronger. We are more powerful when we come together and share information and really find out that we're really all alike. We don't want to send our children to war. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what politics you abide by. You don't want to send your child to war. They're the ones who want to send your child to war. We want peace. Everyone in the world really wants peace. They want to eat clean food, healthy food.
Yep.
They want to see their children healthy.
And they have a right to be.
And they have a right to be, but you have this faction who wants to divide us. So if you're there dividing yourself, separating yourself from others through hate or being controlled to separate yourself or judge others, they're winning.
Well, that's a New York Times article basically says Google is being falsely accused of censoring speech in the United States, when what is really doing is mulling a return to censorship in China. Well, if that's the truth, then put Alex Jones back up on there, all right? I sit there and watch the videos of them in Congress talking about the same exact thing of how about we put these little articles underneath like the moon landing hoax video, so that the people would have another, you know, view of what was going on. If that's not a form of censorship, then nothing is. And if it seems to be the only ones that are getting kicked off of the doggone deal is the conservatives, it's Google's platform. Google bought YouTube, in case people didn't know that, so YouTube's portion of Google. And if they're kicking people off of YouTube because they don't like their political view, or they're not saying the right words, or saying the wrong words, that whole freedom of speech just went out the window if you can't say what's on your mind, even if you're wrong. That's the whole thing. That's the reason why. So that the government couldn't sit there and say, you can't say certain things against the government or you're going to go to jail. We're heading that way.
I'm going to say that Alex Jones has been compromised, and basically Alex Jones was a mark.
But if you kick him off, then you got
to
start...
No, that's the reason why he was marked, is to kick him off, so that now it's easier to kick other conspiracy nutcases off.
And
that's the whole plan. So listen, if you don't believe about the mainstream media, just let me read this. This is interesting here, because this can help us. Who owns the media? The six monolithic corporations that control almost everything we watch, what we hear, and what we read. So back in 1983, approximately 50 corporations controlled the vast majority of all news media in the United States. And today, ownership of the news media has been concentrated in the hands of just six incredibly powerful media corporations. These corporate behemoths control most of what we watch, what we hear, read, and every single day. They own television networks, cable channels, movie studios, newspapers, magazines, publishing houses, music labels, and even many of our favorite websites. Sadly, most Americans don't even stop to think about who is feeding them the endless hours of news and entertainment that they can constantly ingest. Most Americans don't really seem to care about who owns the media, but they should. The truth is that each of us is deeply influenced by the messages that are constantly being pounded into our heads by the mainstream media. The average American watches 153 hours of television a month. Most Americans begin to feel physically uncomfortable if they go too long without watching or listening to something.
Yeah.
Sadly, most Americans have become absolutely addicted to news and entertainment, and the ownership of all that news and the entertainment that we crave is being concentrated in fewer and fewer hands each year.
And that's why it's so hard to say anything that we say here on this show, because people have been told by the mainstream media, the mainstream education system, and the government in general, a certain side of the story. And people don't like to feel stupid. And so if you have been told that global warming is real, you was told it in school, you heard about it on TV, and the majority of the people believe what they were seeing on TV, and everybody seemed like you talked to says it's real, and we got to do something about it, we got to save the environment. Everybody loves the environment, everybody loves their family. But if you come there with an alternative view saying, hold on a second, the science don't add up, it is so hard to get past that shell that was just created on that person that was indoctrinated, because they do not want to feel stupid. They don't want to feel like they're duped. They want to feel like they're intelligent, and whenever they're sitting there arguing the facts or the talking points or whichever liberal view or conservative view they got, they don't want to be wrong. And that's why it's so hard to get the doggone truth out, because this information war, Hillary said it herself. Hillary said that they were losing the information war because the alternative media had a different point of view, and their points of view were backed up by facts and video and information and documents and all this kind of stuff. When they got Freedom of Information Act out there, they were getting documents from the government all the time, even with the redacted portion, still told the truth and proved that these certain things weren't what they were portrayed to be to begin with by the mainstream cabal.
Well, you know, the thing is with these controllers of our media, here's the information, you know, and we know this, an increasing number of Americans are actually starting to wake up, and they are realizing that the mainstream media should not be trusted. There's been a Gallup poll, I guess, that says the number of Americans that have little to no trust in the mainstream media is now 57%. It's an all-time high, and this is one reason why we have seen the alternative media experience such rapid growth. The mainstream media has been losing credibility at a staggering rate. There's a red flag for you.
That's why they're trying to shut us down.
And Americans are starting to look elsewhere for the truth about what is really going on, and that's why we're being attacked. Do you think that anyone in the mainstream news would actually tell you that the Federal Reserve is bad for America, or that we are facing a horrific derivatives bubble that could destroy the entire world financial system? Do you think that anyone in the mainstream media would actually tell you the truth about the deindustrialization of America, or the truth about the voracious greed of Goldman Sachs? You know, I mean, I popped this article in the chat so you guys could take a look at it.
Ironically enough, those same people that you mentioned, Goldman Sachs and all those, they all go back to the same exact families that you just listed earlier. The people who own the media company also own the companies that are advertising on the same doggone media company. So they're not going to say anything contrary to anything that's going to cost them any sales. And the only time they even get even squirrely about anything is when people stop buying what they're selling, or even threaten to boycott their products. Then they might come out there and throw a nugget of truth out there just to get you happy and complicit again.
Well, it's like, yeah, we won't hear the truth about the genocide in the Middle East. You won't hear that term.
How many of the companies and the families that you named were involved in either money-making deals with the same deal and everything, that how many of them were actually responsible for that? You see
That's
what I'm
correct.
Talking?
Yeah. So I think Barry popped in a question if he could join us. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I'll throw him in here.
Okay, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. That's what we're up against. That's why they want to do every single thing they can to shut up the alternative media. So they're going to call us conspiracy nuts. They're going to call us every name under the sun and try to censor anything they can possibly do. That's what they do. You know, and this is what we're up against. If we don't nip this in the bud, when we actually have an opportunity to have any say about it at all, it's going to be a done deal. You're going to be living in that George Orwell society. I'm sitting here trying to find Barry. Let me see if I can type it and search in there. Anyway, I'm trying to add Barry into the call here. As soon as I find him, there he is. All right. So, if we don't nip this in the bud while we got an opportunity to, we're going to just be hearing one side of the story from this point on. There ain't going to be no other, opposing views. And might as well just kiss it all goodbye, because once they get all their people into place, they'll start taking away every single right you got, because every single right you got is some right that they don't have, and that means that's not going to make them money. If you can say what you want to say and it can be proven that you're right, then their business is going to be affected by that. They don't want to lose the money, they don't want to lose the power. And they're afraid of the alternative media for the simple reason that it's the alternative media that has been basically taking down the mainstream media and outing them as the real fake news. So they want to try to do a reversal and shift it around that the alternative media is the fake news, when in reality, we're the ones that pointed it out at them first. Sitting there lying and putting up false videos and videotaping supposedly two separate events from the same exact parking lot and trying to play it off as two different events going on so that they could get gun control through. And that's what they've been doing. So I hear you're moving around back there, Barry. How's life treating you, brother?
you hear me fidgeting in the background. Good. Good. She's been listening a little bit, but pretty crazy what's going on, and it's just getting crazier.
Yeah.
But there's a crazy thing going on in Canada right now, and that's, of course, the formation of a new political party under Maxime Bernier.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
If I can talk about it for a couple minutes, I will. I have been watching Maxime Bernier. I have gone to the new party's website, and I am a kind of a person that does not support or believe in politicians, because the system the way it is doesn't work for the people. But in the meantime, we're not going to change the system overnight. We know that. Eventually, maybe we can turn it around and change how this whole thing runs. But this guy is stepping forward, and I've been watching very closely and talking with other conservatives in Canada about the rise of this new party and exactly what it means for Canadians. And we're seeing unbelievable support right out of the gate for this gentleman, because his party platform resonates with Canadians. He's calling it out exactly like it is in this country. And to say that we could see a Trump-style event happen in Canada would not be on the realm of our possibilities right now. I had a 25-minute conversation with Maxime Bernier 2 days ago, because I'm at a point right now that I want to find out if the guy's for real.
Yeah.
And it's a big question, if this is being a ploy played on the Canadian people to divide the Conservative Party right now and possibly get Trudeau in with another mandate for 4 years, which will destroy our country. Whether it's a ploy or not, that's the million-dollar question. But after a conversation with him for about 25 minutes, I laid it out exactly, told him who I am, an old-stock Canadian, exactly what I see going on, and every point I made, he agreed with. The one concern I had was his involvement in the Privy Council in Canada. But really, after conversations with a few other people, one of them is Frank Vaughan, who I really respect his opinion in Canada. We really kind of got to the bottom of that, and I put that to this gentleman in a conversation. And I kind of put that concern to rest. I believe the guy at this point, I'm kind of believing the guy's the real deal, but I'm going to stand off a little bit. He went as far as to say that there's 378 ridings that have to be filled in Canada before the next federal election.
Yeah.
I was talking to his PR man, whose name happens to be Maxine also, on Friday. And this is when the announcement was made. And within 6 hours of the announcement made, the site was absolutely bombarded with applications to represent ridings all across Canada. And the people that are applying are people of notoriety, very, very strong conservative voices. So there could be a way for me in Canada. I'm almost ready to jump on the bandwagon, but I'm going to stand off a little bit and just watch for the next couple of days. They've agreed to do a radio show with me here.
Well, that's kind of how I was with when Trump was being elected. I'm still kind of, you know, on the fence. I did vote for the man, and I will vote for him again if he keeps doing what he's been doing. But I'm still not completely convinced that, you know, everything.
There's a plug.
Yeah.
You know, they're all actors in a big stage.
That's what needs to be done. People need to be alert.
That's the one question. So I'm going to watch what he says in the next couple of days. The polls, they already did a poll here in Canada. I think it was released yesterday after 4 o'clock or something. But he's actually right now looking at about 21% support of Canadians right off the hop, which is unbelievable.
If that candidate you're talking about even remotely goes in there and starts to shake up the media and to shake up the the establishment, then you're going to know that you've got the right one, because
he's turning everybody upside down right now, because he's calling it out exactly like it is in Canada.
That's what
exactly
Trump
he's calling out everything that's going on, the destruction of our economy, the total shutdown of our economy by the Liberal government. Our inundation in the borders, thousands of people coming in. We just had a Canadian girl murdered in Burnaby last year. And guess what? It was a Syrian immigrant that Trudeau allowed in the country. One of 40,000 he brought in one shot. Well, what the heck is going on, folks? And then he turns around. He made a public statement. He's going to get really lambasted on this one, Shaziz, because the man made a statement in 2016, and this is recorded, and I can even send you the link because I've listened to him say it. He said, "If any Canadian is harmed by my immigration programs, I will be personally held responsible." His words right out of his mouth.
Yeah.
He also was talking about multiculturalism, and he had a word slip out like, what's the word? I'm stuck for the word. That's true. Excuse me, guys. I'm bad sometimes. I can't draw the words up. In other words, he really slipped up and admitted that multiculturalism is designed to destroy our country.
Well, it definitely is. I agree. And also, that's part of the agenda of the cabal, and we see it happening in Europe. We see it, here in the United States. That's the whole thing going on here. You see many of these. Like what happened to that murder up there that you're talking about, that's been happening all over, big time in Europe, mm-hmm. rapes and murders and violence.
Yeah. Those German people I talked to last week, Barbara, they told me now that they live an hour and a half north of Berlin. The guy actually friended me this week on Facebook, and he's communicating with me now, and he's introduced me to a few other people in Germany. So I can really get hardcore information about what's going on, because, of course, we're not hearing it on the mainstream.
No.
But it's at a point now where German women literally will not walk the streets in Germany at night. In big cities, they will not do it, because they're just going to get raped. But the mainstream is completely complacent.
Well, we know why, because what I just spoke about, they're owned by the cabal.
Of course they are.
You won't hear this truth. This is part of the elite's plan, is to basically, have this wave, this whole system, destroy the individualism and our rights and so on. And this is what this to me is like the Agenda 21/30, taking over.
Right in our faces.
And people are, I can understand it, because people are, when you talk about the border wall, I said earlier when the first was proposed, the border wall, I was appalled. I was thinking that's That's awful. We can't do that. We're people who welcome people who are, you know, what they showed us, the mainstream media showed us, were people running from, you know, horrors in their own countries, and it's mothers and children and old people, and that's what we saw. So yes, of course we're going to say, wait a second, that's outrageous, you know. We need to give these people, we need to open our borders, we need to help these people. That's the kind of people we are. But what we weren't shown was the droves of young males, basically
military age,
yeah, who were being let in on purpose, part of the game plan here. And so, you know, my perspective and my feeling about the wall changed, because I'm thinking, yeah, and I've seen through research various things that are happening, who is coming across that wall. You have sex traffickers big time. That's one of the things that we now realize, but you won't see that in the mainstream media, because that's conspiracy wackadoodleism. So if you talk about build the wall, or the wall would be helpful, I'm still sort of like not completely fully for it, because I think this is across the board, across the world, that we are being inundated with this, you know, cabal plan to really destroy everything, so many things, our freedoms, our rights, and so on. Mm-hmm. So it's a conundrum, because of course we want to help people who really need help, but when you see what's coming across, and then you see these violations and rapes and murders and so on happening from these immigrants in the world that's happening, it's really quite scary. And you see, this is part of a systematic takedown.
Yeah, and if mainstream media actually did their job and exposed this to people on the scale that it's actually happening, you'd see a major pushback against programs that are going on in our country.
But you
right
won't
now.
See that.
Of course you won't, Barbara, because it's not in the narrative.
That.
It's not in the narrative. We
I
know that. And a lot of people are starting to understand that now.
Well,
Barbara,
so those of us who are speaking about it, because we were talking earlier, I don't know if you were listening, about the censorship. About the ramping up of the censorship now of people mm-hmm. like us. And mm-hmm. other systems, you know, that have been talking the truth, the alternative media, because people are waking up to realizing that the mainstream media is not to be trusted, and they are more and more realizing that. So that's ramping up. So now you have the mainstream media and the cabal and so on really working to take down alternative messengers.
I keep trying to add Patty to the call, but I can't get her in here. Can you guys try to add her?
Yeah. Well, the harder we push, Barb, the harder they're going to push back. And the more they push back, the more we're going to push back. And it's going to come to a point. I see that happening. In Germany, my friends over there are telling me now, there's talk in dinner tables all the time about civil war in Germany. Because the people have had it. And that's coming here.
I'm going to try. I don't know exactly. It's not going to work. I can't get a call in.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have the option on my screen to add her.
No,
let me try. Let me try this. Yeah, let me try and see if I can add her here.
So the whole thing in Canada. That's pretty fascinating.
When
you said something like Trump, the Trump thing happening there in Canada, what did you mean?
Well, because what Maxine has done is unparalleled in Canadian history right now. This is historical in Canada. He has broken away from the press over a month ago now. He broke away from the Progressive Conservative Party, called out Andrew Scheer for exactly what he is. He's just a watered down version of Justin Trudeau. And people are starting to see this. And if we elect the Progressive Conservative Party in Canada, the immigration flow will slow down, but it won't stop. And these people that are already in our country that are not here with good intentions, they'll remain in Canada. But Maxine's laid down a very, very powerful immigration statement on what's going on with immigration, our borders. These people are coming in, they're not being vetted. And if they are being vetted, there is no real computer base in these countries where these so-called refugees are coming from to actually get hard information on who these people are. This man that shot these two girls on the Danforth here about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago in Toronto, his brother, they raided his brother's house. They found 42 pounds of Cacentanil. I have a hard time pronouncing that. Very, very deadly substance. A grain of it will literally kill a human being. There was enough of this substance found in this brother's house of the man that shot these two girls on the Danforth to kill everybody in the city of Toronto. They have been caught hijacking and flying small planes, these groups. I've read reports on this. We know that there's cells now operating in Canada and being safeguarded by our Canadian government. That's how deep this is, and people are really starting to wake up. You know, I do this social experiment every Saturday now with Barbara, and I wear this t-shirt. I was at the farmer's market yesterday selling my Chaga. You know, I sell Chaga products. And I wore my Justin for prison t-shirt. And of the 250 people I probably talked to yesterday during the course of the day, I only had one thumbs up for Justin Trudeau. Okay? Of everybody I talked to. And of course, it allowed me to talk to both the new party. People are going to the website looking at the platform. I'm just telling people, go look what this guy is saying. If it resonates with you, pay attention, because we could see a historical event in Canada happen. If we don't stop what's going on, our country is literally going to fall apart, because our economy right now is in total shambles. This government has shut down every major product or project in Canada. They're just absolutely decimating our economy. Their refusal to talk with Trump, calling Trump out, poking him in the nose. Justin Trudeau is now in Donald Trump's crosshairs, I'll tell you. Because this guy is a lunatic.
All of what we're talking about right now
is all part of a plan. Yeah,
is
go ahead.
One reason why the people have to fight against any type of censorship more than ever now. Because when one side gets the only say in the whole deal, I would be saying the same exact thing if it was the conservative side that was trying to censor out the Democrats. I would be saying the same exact thing that I'm saying right now. Neither side needs to have the only voice in any deal. And this alternative media has been devastating the mainstream media. And like I said earlier, The Supreme Court ruled that it was okay for them to propagandize us, even though at one point in American history it was illegal. They had anti-propaganda laws back in the day, but then they finally lifted that anti-propaganda laws and allowed the mainstream media to blatantly lie to people. And so when that's happening, you're only getting one side of the story. That means your people are going to war on a lie. You see what I mean?
Of course.
And that's ridiculous. I don't want to send my kid to war at all, but, you know, unless it's a proven that we're under attack and we have to, it's a last ditch effort, we have to defend our homeland, that's one thing. But if my kids are going to war over a lie, over something that didn't even happen, you know, there's all kinds of conspiracies out there, you know, like the Gulf of Tonkin or whatever you want to call it, even 9/11 for that matter. Even if you don't agree that it's possible that our own entities might have perpetrated a fraud on the people to get us involved in a war, well, you know, you should at least allow that information to be out there as a check and balance to the system. Otherwise, the government can tell you anything, and you're going to send your family to war to potentially die or kill somebody else because of, you know, a lie. That's why
it's gone on for decades.
Well, I know it has, but right now it's all blatantly in your face. Before, it was like more like trying to hit. It was just conspiracy that they're doing, but now they're right outright doing it, and even saying that they're doing it. You know?
Go ahead.
They're going to Congress and they're talking about how we're going to be putting these little banner ads underneath people's videos that might be controversial, so that somebody's getting a different story. That may not seem like that big a deal. You're giving both sides of the story, but you're sitting there basically suppressing somebody's point of view because you say, well, you don't want to read that. Read the public version or the government version. This is the truth down here, and they're lying to you, basically, is what they're saying. So they're muddying up the water so that anybody who puts information out there that could be potential truth, you're not allowed to discern for yourself anymore. You're being told what to believe. Does that make sense?
But of course, the part of the agenda is control of the mind, man. You control the media, you control the masses. You control the entertainment industry, you control the masses. And that's exactly what we've seen going on in our society, especially in the last 30 years, it's been ramped up. But what we see going on right now has been planned for hundreds of years to get us to this point.
Sure.
And some of those neo-issues is all the tentacles that are involved when you really start looking at all the people that are working with all the people that are working with all the people on this agenda. It blows my mind how deep the tentacles go. But then it's only 1% of the population that are doing this. So
but the more of those tentacles that reach out and grab each of us, the more we have to be alerting people. You know, it's like the whole Paul Revere thing when he was running down there talking about the British are coming. You know, if nobody said anything, we'd probably be speaking some different language by now or have different culture going on. You see what I mean? If ain't nobody saying that there's a danger on the way, like these conspiracy theories that the people that have been talking about all these times, they've been pointing out these guys were corrupt all these years, and everybody laughed in their face and mocked and ridiculed, and now it's mainstream reality. Even the mainstream media is saying the stuff because they knew the alternative media was beating them, and so they had to start telling some truth, otherwise they would have been totally wiped off the map by now. They lie.
We need to get a microphone in on that conversation between the Pope and his bishops or cardinals.
Yeah. Of course, well, that will never happen.
How do we get a microphone in there?
Well, I'm curious about the. I don't know if you saw the picture of the Pope with the other bishops there. I mean, I had to laugh at this whole thing because, you know, it's sort of like sending the fox in the chicken house to solve the problem of the fox attacking the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I doubt very much after centuries of this cover-up that they've been doing and that they're going to find a solution or they even want to find a solution. I don't know.
Or whether they'll be fully blown out exactly what's going on.
What would the solution be? For me, I have my own perspective about the solution. What's your opinion on a solution?
That's a pretty deep question, Barb.
Well, let's go for it. I mean, think about it. We're talking the history, centuries of pedophilia cover up. Wow.
Yeah, and if people really don't get just how deep it is and how many people at top notch positions around the planet are involved in this absolute.
It's not the church.
No, it's way, way deeper than that. You know that, and I know that.
Yeah.
You've done a lot more research into it than I did. I have. You know, I've got to admit that. Your knowledge is great on this subject, but I know enough about it that I know this has been going on for a very, very long time, and there's no other way to describe these people as demons from hell, because that's exactly what they are. Anybody that would harm a child, dismember a child, sacrifice a child, the stuff these people do, I can't even begin to wrap my mind around, because I consider myself to be a loving, caring, normal person. That's what we're supposed to be, but our hearts have been...
Well, that's the conundrum right there, because
One good thing I got to say quick is that I watched the numbers in the Catholic Church, and they are dropping drastically.
I hope they drop completely, frankly, because I think people need to be free from this cabal, from this ownership of their minds and their bodies and their spirits, frankly. Mm-hmm. What do you want to say, Shazuz?
All right, I'm going to point something out. I can't think of it. It says T.J. Mai. I think that's what it says in there on the chat deal. I can't read that name, but it said it's been going on for thousands of years. Which I will agree with, but the difference is now we got a tool available to us to where we can actually inform each other and help each other find solutions and hold people accountable. This internet that we're setting in front of is a powerful tool. And it's proven itself because the mainstream media, who was allowed to keep things covered up going on in Hollywood or in the governments or even in the churches for that matter, doesn't matter, wherever it's going on, they were able to cover it up. They were able to cover up for companies that were doing environmental disasters and all that kind of stuff and painting whichever picture looked the best for whatever agenda they had going on. But now that you, yourself, as the average Joe has a voice where you can get out here on the internet during the social medias and you can talk with each other, that scares the you-know-what out of them. Because now they can be held accountable. Now more people know that there's a truth that, other than the truth that has been told on the doggone mainstream media. That's what I wanted to point out. Even though it's been going on for thousands of years, now's our chance to do something about it, because now we can talk to each other like we're doing right now. Am I wrong?
I just put Patty in there. Is she on?
I keep seeing
the
picture come and go.
I want to hear that voice. I want to hear that voice.
Hello, hello.
Hey, there she is. Hey. All
right. Skype is being a little butt today.
Yeah, it's been kicking us too.
What a great conversation that I've missed. I've been opining in the background, though, I want you to know. You know, this thing, Barry, that you were talking about with this Graham substance that they were...
Fentanyl, yeah.
Were they actually making plans to do that?
Well, Patty, you know, what would you be using this for? I mean,
the fentanyl is the date rape drug, isn't it?
The research I did into it, I don't know if it's actually classified as the date rape drug, but a very, very minute amount of this will kill a human being.
Well,
they had 42 pounds of it seized by the police, and there's no follow-up on it in the media.
But if you utilize this in the way that they have done here in the U.S. On occasions and things, you know, the Muslims have stated that they will create babies that will create an army that will rise up against the people. Well, if you're having flack from women who don't want to be raped, you know, your best way to get around that, you know.
One person I did talk to about this, Patty, said that if that 42 pounds was put into a light aircraft and sprayed over the city of Toronto, you would see a event unparalleled in our history. It would kill hundreds of thousands of people. And to think that this is not something beyond the realm of possibility in our world today, you have to have your head in the sand. These people are very evil, and yeah, there is cells operating in Canada right now. We look at the one that was discovered in New Mexico and how it was destroyed, covered up, the people released, and blah, blah, blah. The bright side of the story is that the federal grand jury has now indicted all five of these individuals, and they are going to have to speak for their crimes, but the fact that a local judge dismissed it and the prosecutor didn't file the papers in time, I mean, it's just a sham. But this is going on everywhere now. These factions are in our society, and when the word says, somebody says go, watch what happens. Because, you know, Patty, the government, I'll stop talking here in a second, but I have looked into this a lot, especially in Canada. You know, they're being allowed to bring weapons in. I mean, this is all being covered up by the government. If you have the government covering up any activity that you want to do to prepare for a major terrorist attack in Canada, you can basically do anything you want unstopped. Okay? So those are major concerns that we have.
I gotta put a little bit of information on that. That Rohypnol is the one that they call date rape. Is that any difference in the fentanyl you were talking about?
The one that I'm talking about was called carpentanil. I can go get you a link.
Okay.
Let me step away here for a minute.
That's okay.
I'll put a link on.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that if you want to stop these terror cells, you have to go to the main cell, and that would be your president or your, what do you call them, prime minister, like Merkel. That's where the major cell is, so if you don't take that cell down, the terrorism is going to continue. It's the same thing it's all over the place. It's all over the globe. This is a concerted effort between governments to create this chaos, and there's a reason for it. And we know what the reason is. We've talked about it before. But the people are the only ones that can stop this.
Yeah, well,
the governments are not going to stop it.
That's why they're deliberately putting two different cultures that they know for a fact are going to clash with one another together. You know, that's why George Soros and all them, they know that. That's how they go out and start fights and destabilize nations. That's how they do it. You know, and it's being done worldwide. It's not just a, you know, a localized to Canada or America or, you know, UK or whatever. It's happening everywhere. And they bring these people in that are radicalized, and knowing that they're radicalized, they don't care. If it starts a war in the area where they clash these two cultures, that was the agenda to begin with. Order out of chaos, just like Patty said.
Well, the governments have created this system of terror, these immigration marks, because it's not real immigration. This is created. This is orchestrated. This is most of these people that came in through Germany that are causing most of the problems. They were from the Sudan area of Africa, and these radical, the most radical areas of, and it's not Muslims. This is not, you know, people they have it against. It's not the religion. It's the people within the religion who become extremists, who take this to the extreme. They've been built. They've been created. Yeah. You know, this is something that we have to. People have to stop and think about this. This is not by chance. This is not, oh, all of a sudden these people got upset and now they're coming over and they want to take us over. This has been going on a long time. They've bred this into these people. They have created this massive flood of these extremists. And they've turned them loose on purpose. It's why when they started coming in, Merkel said to the women, oh, if you don't want to be raped, just wear this bracelet on your arm. You don't want to be raped? Don't go outside. You know? It's why we have these people in California on the left that are saying, I'll be raped by a Muslim. It's okay. You know?
They were saying that?
Yes!
Oh my gosh!
Well, I don't know how many people. I saw a woman with a sign. She was protesting. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that was the gist of what she was saying. I don't have a problem with being raped by an immigrant, you know? This is all orchestrated. These people
never been raped before.
You know, well, yeah, Betsy's in the background. She said, well, she's never been raped before. Well, that's probably true, you know? What I'm saying is, here I come on, and now I'm, you know, I'm probably, everybody's going, oh my gosh, listen to Patty. But it's true. I'm not going to step around on tiptoe about this. This is serious stuff, and I'm going to call it out as I see it. You know, these people on the left, and I'm sorry if you're a person on the left, I'm not saying you're part of them, but in California, there's a lot of them that are. They're pushing this agenda, not realizing what they're doing. They're not thinking. They're just following. And all of this is orchestrated. We are being played across the globe. And the people who stand up, you know, like us, we're getting the flack because...
We're being censored now, big time censorship.
Right. There's a reason for that.
But you're talking about the sanctuary cities.
I want to read a comment out of the chat room real quick that had to do something about the drug you was talking about earlier. Anon6206 says, fentanyl is a very powerful painkiller. They use it mixed with stuff like Xanax to get people higher than they would, but usually it kills people because they either put too much or people take one or more pills. He said, I have at least 5 friends who have been killed by this drug. By drug dealers selling fentanyl laced drugs.
Wow.
It can kill you upon contact, is what he said.
Wow. Where are they getting this
from? I'm pronouncing it carfentanil. You know, I just went and looked for, there was 2 videos on YouTube about it, and of course I can't find them now. They've been taken down. But
well, you have to ask who is pushing fentanyl. Where does any of the drugs come?
It's called carfentanil. Is the drug that was seized.
Carpenter.
And it is so deadly. I'm going to go to a couple other people that have that vid. I could get in touch with Duke Willis or Frank Vaughn have got the bid and they saved it, but it's been taken down from YouTube. This is unbelievable. Now, to say to yourself that, okay, so this house was raided and they found this in that house, how much more of this stuff is around the country? How many more of these cells are sitting there with really, really bad stuff waiting for the word go?
How do you spell that?
And that's what's going to happen. Go ahead.
How do you spell carpentanol?
I'll go, if you give me a few minutes, I'll go to a couple of the sites and I'll try and find the link.
All right,
because
cool.
It was taken down on, I believe it's spelled CARPENTHANAL, or it might be spelled slightly different than that. I'm a little illiterate right now as far as the actual spelling goes.
Well, it might be so new, there might not be a doggone Google link on it.
Carpentanol is what it's called. And 42 pounds were seized. But this was the brother. Oh, also in the same house, they seized, how many long guns? I want to make sure I say the right number. I believe it was 68 long guns and 38 handguns were seized in the same house. And there has been no follow-up by mainstream media on this at all. It was basically touched on once or twice and then brushed under the rug. So to say to yourself, man, that there's not more of this, you know, we know that Justin Trudeau has openly allowed ISIS fighters to return to Canada under the guise of being able to reintegrate them into Western society. Well, folks, that's the biggest lie you'll ever hear in your life. These people will never, ever reintegrate into Western society, and their intentions are what they are. They're going to do these things in Canada, and now Canadians are going, what the heck's going on? But you can't get the government to be held to account. It's all pretty weird, sunny ways, nothing to see here. He will not call out this Syrian refugee that shot a 13-year-old girl in Burnaby. I mean, this is going on all over the place. I know it's going on in the States big time, but really, folks, what does it take one of your folks or your friends to get killed before you stand up and go, hey, we got to do something about this? Well, the good thing is Canadians are starting to wake up, Shaziz, and they're waking up in droves.
Well, that's a good thing, and more people in around the world need to, because it's getting crazy, man.
Well, I think we kind of know that there's a certain factions in the United States hidden to begin with, but now they're coming out about the CIA or certain factions that have been pushing drugs in this country. You know, the joke about the war on drugs, the war on terror, it's a joke, really. I just popped a link into the chat about key figures in the CIA crack cocaine scandal begin to come forward. They're basically talking about the involvement of this, you know, I guess you could say, again, the deep state or hidden parts of the government that are pushing these drugs upon the people.
Well, that's the whole thing, too. It's not just the censorship that we're talking about or even the conspiracy to censor everything. It's also, you're being attacked from all different types of directions for them pushing drugs into your community, you know. And so this order out of chaos thing, man, it's like that tentacles that Barry mentioned earlier. You got tentacles coming from every doggone direction. This is why we need to ensure that we are not censored, and that if you find information that you want to point out, that you're able to do so. This is why it's so important. George Orwell's 1984 doesn't even scratch the surface of what we're up against if we're not allowed to speak out whenever we see a problem, right? Am I wrong?
Well, I'm just trying to get somebody. I'm going to have somebody join the show here. How does he get in here on Skype?
Well, I don't know, but we got like 5 or 6 minutes, so we could stay a little bit longer.
Okay. I was just getting a follow up on that carpentanol. That's all.
Well, we could stay on long enough to get that if we can get him in there.
Okay. How do I get him in here? I know he has Skype.
Well, have him add me real quick as a contact, and then I'll drag him in here if I can.
Okay. I'll type him right now.
Anyway, so like I said, the censorship, it goes a whole lot farther, a lot more is involved than everybody's actually thinking. It's not just your freedom on the internet we're talking about. Because if you come across some sort of information and you need to be able to get it out, but it's contrary to what the mainstream is saying, and, you know, against one of their, whether it be donors or lobbyists or advertisers or whatever, they're obviously not going to allow you or want you to say that information out there. So when it comes to election time, censorship is really bad because you only get certain choices as is. But if you ain't got the information available to you to at least vet these people, you know, like if somebody says that this guy is a crook or whatever, and the mainstream media is saying he's a good guy, you ain't gonna get that other information if you're being censored. I hope what I'm saying is more common sense than anything else. I mean, what else can you say about it?
We've said a lot.
it's crazy how dangerous this really is. Censorship is, one thing. Look, like I said, we self-censor ourselves on here. We're not dropping the F-bomb and the S-bomb and all that. That's out of respect. That's one thing. But as far as censoring information, we'll talk about just about any subject out here as long as it's relevant or whatever, that it's going to, be something we can find a solution or address or whatever, however you look at it. But it's not like we're sitting here saying, because you have liberal views, I'm not going to let you say anything on here. No, we want both sides of the story so we can discern for ourselves what the truth is.
What's your Shaziz code? What is your Skype? There's several Shazizes on Skype. What are you
Should be Shaziz Man.
Okay, I'll type that in. Hang on. He wants to join here. I want to talk just for a few minutes about
Barry,
this.
All you have to do is hit that little plus guy up there by our pictures, and you can add him from there on this call. You can't add him from your call, your Skype like we used to.
Okay, let me see if I can add him. He's ringing.
Anyway, it's really important that we...
When I bring him in, let me just talk to him when he does that. Hey, Duke, is that you, bud?
Hello?
Hey, Duke, you're on a radio show with Shaziz Man, Barbara's Tree Crow, and Patty Walker and myself. No dropping F-bombs on this show, but I wanted to pick your brain real quick about the seizure of Kapentanol in Toronto. Could you bring him up today? I wanted to bring you in just to talk about that for a couple minutes with him, okay?
The 42 kilos of carfentanil in Toronto?
Okay, kilos. I thought it was pounds. So I sound corrected. That's 90 pounds of it.
Yeah, somewhere around there, 90 some odd pounds. Faith Goldie touched on it in one of her videos. She worked it out that based on equivalency of potency to heroin, 42 kilos of carfentanil work out to 2.1 billion, with a B, not an M, billion lethal doses.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Hey, Duke, by the way, guys, Duke does online radio shows, and I got to meet him here a little while ago, and we've had some great conversations. So, pretty crazy stuff. How would you apply that to the public? If you wanted to kill 2.1 billion, if you want to kill a million people, Dip, we talk about those planes that they've been flying around, these things of ours. Would that be a great mechanism to give Toronto a good little dose one day?
Well, don't get me wrong, I'm not any kind of military expert, but I grew up in Niagara in the food industry. I've been to the food terminal in Toronto down by the Humber River where most of the large grocery store chains, all their produce comes through there. It's known as the Ontario Food Terminal, and it's operated by the Oshawa Food Group, who distribute produce and food products out to Fortinos, Loblaws, No Frills, all the big chains. It would take nothing for an employee to walk through the Toronto Food Terminal and pull a plastic sandwich bag out of their pocket and sprinkle half a pound, a quarter pound of this powder, just plain white powder, all over pallets of open peaches, lettuce, tomatoes.
Wow.
It would take nothing. Like, let's face it, it was just recently that a small plane was stolen from a regional airport, and the pilot crashed into, I believe it was the main street of Lindsay or Peterborough.
Peterborough.
Peterborough, yes.
Yep.
Well, if you were a terrorist and you wanted to know how easy it was to steal a plane and sprinkle toxic chemicals out the window as you flew over a neighborhood,
a reservoir.
Yeah, or over a water reservoir.
Yeah.
The first thing you'd do is see how easy it is to steal a plane. So you pick a disposable person in your group, right? And you send them out on a reconnaissance mission, just like any military adventure. Instead of finding out where the enemy is, this reconnaissance mission is to find out how easy it is to obtain the things you want.
Cool.
And there's been a number of small planes stolen and crashed, not just here in Ontario, but across the country.
Yeah, I read about that, dude. Crazy.
Yeah.
So, what's your friend's name again?
Oh, this is Duke Willis. He's from St. Catharines, Ontario, and
so let me ask you a question.
He's a true Canadian patriot.
With all this censorship going on right now, the kind of stuff that we're talking about right now, doesn't it seem plausible that this censorship could actually help people to be able to accomplish a task like you just mentioned?
Oh, well, that's exactly what it's designed to do.
Yes.
We have to accept the fact, whether you believe in the so-called, what the MSM are wanting to label the conspiracy theory of the century, QAnon. If you want to believe in that sort of thing, great. But there is a certain level where you get down to the brass tacks, okay?
Yeah.
When you peel away everything else and you get down to what the accountants would call the bottom line. And the bottom line is, there are good forces at work in this world, and there are evil forces at work in this world. And those forces manifest in all kinds of places within our world, political as well.
Well, so if I needed to get an information out, such as a possible terrorist event like what you just described there, somebody getting a plane and flying that out, if I said the wrong keywords, Google's AI would shut that video down and hardly anybody would see it and the plan would go on as normal. So that's why I keep saying things like censorship is more dangerous than people realize.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, absolutely. I am so against our M103 legislation here in Canada. We already have anti-Islamophobia laws here in Ontario that tell me what I can and can't say. Since when did I wake up in Stalin's communist Russia?
Yeah, I think we're all there now.
Dan, it's only ramping up, Duke. We know that with bills.
There is a way.
All the bills they're bringing forward. Go ahead.
There is a way to circumvent the little watchdogs that run the internet. And, you know, they can record your speech and they can decipher it, and they can record your print and they can decipher it. The one thing they can't do, they cannot discern a meme. And if you create a meme with truth on it and you put it out there, their little spiders, their little spies, they can't discern what that meme is about because it's on a picture.
Well, that's
and you
brilliant.
Put the words on the picture.
That's brilliant.
There are places.
Or gematria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant.
You can go to a place. You can Google, not Google. I don't use Google, but do a search for meme maker, M-E-M-E maker. And there are a bunch of them on there. You can create a meme with a picture, and you can post it on your social media, and it will reach a lot of people. That's how they've been circumventing the censorship. And so this is one way we do it. But the thing of it is that you're right. We have to, if we make this go across the internet and people realize what is at stake, then that thwarts their efforts, because if they then create this situation, then we've already called them down on it and put it out there. We can't stop this unless we stop the governments that are doing this.
Well,
that won't happen. It has to happen, but it won't happen until there is a Ted Nugent style revolution. And when I say Ted Nugent style, I'm referring to, you are a corrupt government and we are not putting up with your tyranny, exercise the Second Amendment in the United States.
It's gonna it needs to happen worldwide.
Well,
it's going to start in Europe.
I'm saying I hope that never comes about, because quite literally I believe we're sitting on a powder keg, that if the wrong things are said or done, that we could quite literally be in the midst of the next second civil war. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news to both sides. There will not be a winner of a second civil war. Everyone's going to lose. I guarantee you. The moment the United States bust out into a civil war, the whole rest of the planet's going to go just as crazy, because everything is so financially intertwined and even socially intertwined that there's going to be a ripple effect across the entire planet unlike anything in the history of time. And this civil war ain't going to be like it was back during the 1800s. It's not going to be muskets and whatever. You talking about a new age modern warfare of epic, if not biblical, proportion.
Where, but you have to realize that this is where they're taking this. This is where they want this to go.
Well,
that's what people are forgetting, and they're not looking back at history. Where we are right now is no different than where the United States was in September and October of 1942, right before December 7th, Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Okay? The United States was sitting back going, we can do whatever we want, we control the timeline. And then all of a sudden, on December 7th, Japan came along and bitch-slapped the USA with a great big stick that said, no, dum-dum, we control the timeline. The same thing is going to happen here. Your worries about a civil war breaking out, the U.S. and U.S. citizens don't control that.
Well,
Islam
I hope
does.
I hope we don't.
Well,
that's what
as far as Pearl Harbor goes, that was put on.
I use it only as an example in the chronological cause and effect of things.
Yeah.
The U.S. was sitting back and ignoring, not our problem kind of situation, and an outside factor took control of the chronological events, the timeline.
Yeah,
and that's what's happening.
The same thing that's happening now. Yes.
Yes. Islam controls the timeline. Islam controls when the next Danforth killing will occur. Islam controls when the next truck will drive down a bicycle path in New York City.
Well,
Islam is controlled. Islam is
here's the thing, and
we gotta wrap this thing up,
but here's the thing, all I'm saying, and the reason I wanted to put this particular subject on the table, is censorship is a whole lot more dangerous than what you think it is, and it needs to be nipped in the bud before it gets completely out of control, if it isn't already.
Because in Canada, it already is out of control.
Well, yeah,
our,
we talk about
our mainstream media is more government controlled than in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
In the U.S.
Unbelievably
as well.
So, and has been for decades.
In the U.K. as
next
well.
Next week, why don't you get in early next week, Duke, and join this conversation.
Yeah.
I'd love to, Barry. Remind me about it and let me know. I'm home on Sundays.
Get up in the morning and I'll let you know when we're on the air, and we'll get you in. We'll carry on this conversation.
Yeah, it'd be
great. I always love having conversations with you. Last night was fun.
When you talk about people getting arrested for reporting alternative news because of certain words they might use or whatever, like what happened to, what's his name, Tommy Robinson over in the U.K.?
Yeah,
you know, and that kind of stuff right there is what George Orwell's book 1984 was all about. You know, not to mention what Paul Harvey said back in 1965, how you're going to break down society to get things that you want done. But either way, It's whatever you got to do to avoid censorship, that deal that Patty said about making memes and putting them in your videos so that the AIs can't shut your video down before people get the message, that's brilliant. I like that. I'm going to use that. But nonetheless, the importance of what we're saying here today is that it doesn't matter whether you believe we did or didn't go to the moon, or whether there is or isn't a God, or whether there is or isn't a one-world conspiracy. What matters is if you can't get out there and voice what you believe and your side of the story, then there's only one side of the story being told. And when there's only one side of the story being told, that's when things get dangerous. That's when you and your children are shipped off to war to fight over something that was just a flat-out lie to begin with. And that, to me, is the ultimate danger. Whether we end up in a civil war or a world war, neither one of which, I don't want it, you guys don't want it, nobody wants to send their family off to war. Only ones that want war are the ones that's going to profit from it. The ones that's going to sell the drugs, the guns, the ammunition, the medical supplies, the machinery, the fuel. They're going to make money hand over fist. And if you follow the money back to the doggone original families who are in control of not just the media, but the military-industrial complex and all the different politicians that are bought and sold on a regular basis, we, the average Joe, got our work cut out for us. And if we can't speak out freely, if censorship is what we're going to have shutting us down every time we try to open our mouths, then we got bigger problems than you think. Because might as well just pack it up and get ready to go fight, because that's what they're sending us to. They don't care about you. They don't care about none of us.
WikiLeaks released, Julian Assange released an email just recently, a bunch of them, but one that referred to Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and the money that she received from Saudi Arabia and other places, the billions of dollars that the Clinton Foundation received. And the email was instructing Podesta to make sure that ISIS was supplied and was ready to go. That's the gist of the email. So this lets you know where this is coming from. This is not just Islam rising up. This was created.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't ISIS the one they said on the mainstream media's running around chopping people's heads off?
Yeah, the ones that Trudeau brings back into Canada and tells it's all right.
Ain't they the ones we're also supposedly over there fighting against? You know, of course they changed names twice since this whole process of 9/11 all the way up. It was something else before it was ISIS or something else now. I can't even remember what the name was.
Yeah, it was ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and before that it was called the United Nations, and before that it was called the League of Nations.
Yes.
And if you trace the ideology all the way, well, all the way back, on the way, you're going to find this little incident where the Archduke of Austria was murdered, and it triggered World War One. Wow. And the free world has been fighting a worldwide totalitarian government since the 1900s beginning. Well, forever, yes, but in the modern world, since the early 1900s, it's what World War One and World War Two were all about. They just propped up different plays on the stage, different actors on the stage, to present that particular hand in the euchre game of controlling the world.
Wow.
That's all we've seen.
All right, folks. Well, we went so deep down the rabbit hole today, we're going to have to make a part two. There's going to have to be a part two to this show, because we haven't even scratched the surface of what we found today.
I get a kick out of when people say to me, gee, Duke, you're down the rabbit hole. I tell them, no, dude, I'm digging lateral tunnels.
Well, we're right there with you.
Well said, man.
I'm holding the lantern. Look, folks, we got to get up out of here, but before we do that, it's our time to go around the table, and so I usually like to say ladies first, because the ladies, but since Duke's new to the Knights of the Round Table, I'll let him have his last say there. So, Duke, you got any words of wisdom to give people out there how to, you know, fight against censorship, or how to, any solution you can throw on the table is better than nothing at all.
I'll tell you the best way to fight against censorship get off the internet, print off what you want to tell people, fold it up into a business card or half a sheet of piece of paper. As you're out grocery shopping, stick it in people's carts. The worst they're going to do is tell you to F off.
Yep.
Your country is worth more to you than getting told to F off. Yep. So do something. Censorship doesn't exist in the real world. Get off the artificial matrix.
There you go. That's brilliant.
Well said.
So who's next?
Well said. Barbara. We haven't heard from Barbara. I want to hear her talk.
Well, again, another really great show, as always. Where we go one all.
Yeah.
Where we go one, we go all. And we have to be, I guess we have to get really strong in our, as I always say, strong in our connectedness, our unity, our oneness, but also preparations on many levels, not just the water that we need and awareness and alertness, but our spiritual foundation. I always say you have to have something through this storm to hold on to strong. I think they're going to throw everything they possibly can at us. They're running scared. They know together we are powerful, and I believe that so much. And I know there's a greater thing happening here beyond our little, I guess, human experience. There's something far greater going on, and I want to just say that it's important to tap into that. Don't be in fear, you know, above all. Don't fall down that into that fear place, because that's what they want. They want you terrified and in fear so that they can control you and that you cannot think critically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I
exactly.
Just
wanna,
yeah.
And if
Thank you
have to go down a rabbit hole, stay close together and keep the lanterns lit.
Well, keep the long rope on your waist up to the top. And there are many tunnels once you start going down there, for sure. But I'll tell you something. Not only is it an awesome experience, it's powerful, it's empowering, it's enlightening. And it's just an experience that I think we all need to start having, because for so long, for too long now, we have been in the dark, and they want us to stay that way. So, yeah, bring your lantern down the rabbit hole.
It's time to leave the mushroom farm and come out of the dark.
Yeah. So what about you, Pat?
The light is more powerful. Let me tell you something. Beautiful. Thank
what
you.
What about
so
you,
much.
Patty? You got any words of wisdom?
Yeah, first off, I just want to give a shout out to Betsy for making this possible for me. I'm at her house, so I want to
say Betsy.
Thanks, Betsy.
Thank you,
Betsy.
Team
here, hey, Betsy.
She's waving and saying hello.
And I'll interrupt every now and then too.
We love you.
I think what I got to say first.
But I thank you, Duke. So glad you joined us today, and Shaziz, I'm so glad I joined you today. I've missed so many, but hopefully I'll be able to join you again next Sunday too, because I didn't get a long time to yak today. But I just want to leave people with this. There's only one way that you fight what is wrong, and that's standing for what is right.
That's right.
And you can't be scared. Fear has nothing to do with the truth, has nothing to do with love, has nothing to do with the unity that we all share. And that's the most important thing that you can teach yourself and your children. There's nothing to fear as long as we stand in truth and in love. We can do this. It's not impossible. We brought ourselves to this point in time. We came along. We joined along with all this subterfuge, all of the lies, all of these things, and we walked here on our own. But now we know. Now we see. Now we understand exactly what is at stake.
Amen.
We're the ones who change things. We are the ones who make it right. It's up to us. We got this. There's nothing to fear. We're together on this. We're in love with life and with each other. We have gifts. Let's utilize them. Don't stand down. Don't cower. Stand up and say, I am worthy of peace. I am worthy of love. I am love. This is where we're at right now. There's a choice to be made, like Barb was saying. This time that we're in was made for us. This is our time of proving. And we're the only ones who can do this. We're the only ones that people need to join together outside of all of this rhetoric, outside of all the propaganda, outside of all the race-baiting and the divisionist doctrines. We need to throw all that stuff away.
Yep.
We need to stand together, and we need to make sure that the truth is never silenced.
Well said. So, Barry, you got any words of wisdom?
Well, I don't know what to say after listening to that.
Look, these
Listen, you left this show this morning has absolutely lifted me right up, okay? I get into this room and I feel love. I'm glad that I can introduce Duke to you guys, different perspective on things, but I know if Duke hangs around here for a while, he'll feel some of the love that's being generated in this room. So thanks for joining us, Duke, and I hope
Thank you, Barry.
Yeah. But, you know, we're on the same page, Duke. We're absolutely committed. And I feel that amongst all people that are involved in exposing this information to people, we're fully ramped up. We're all banging on 8 cylinders. We know that time is short, but the most important thing that Barbara touched on today, me being a Christian person, is that you have to have a spiritual connection. Because if I didn't have a spiritual connection right now, when I look at everything that's going on in this planet, full spectrum of all events unfolding in front of us, I wouldn't really find, I think I'd go crazy, but
well,
I find a peace inside myself. Let me just finish. I really, really, this show this morning really inspired me. I love talking with you guys, and I know we're having an effect on people, so let's just pedal to the metal.
You mentioned Duke did a radio show. You want to throw some information out there for people so they can listen in on what he's got to say in your show as well?
My show is done Sundays at 1 p.m. on People's Internet Radio, so that's in about a little less than 4 hours right now. But listen, I'm going to throw this out real quick, too. I had Jim Lee from Climate Viewer scheduled to come in at 1 o'clock today. He's in South Carolina. Talked to his wife this morning. He's out helping with people that are in flooded areas.
He's awesome.
Cool. But I had him scheduled today. I really wanted to get him in because he really hits hard on events that are unfolding as far as our climate goes. But he can't come in today. But, you know, something that would be really awesome if I get you three people sitting in with me today for an hour and we continue this conversation. If that idea, if not, I'll go get another guest. But if that idea resonates with you guys, especially you and Barbara and Patty, if Duke, you want to do an hour today on my show.
Barry, you know how to reach me, my friend. Just ask. Well, I'm here. I'm at your disposal.
You want to join me? Is that a yes? Because I'll say
that's a yes, sir.
And Barbara, would you be willing to join me for an hour today?
I would. Just give me the time, my time.
Okay, it'd be at 1 p.m. Pacific time, which is just under 4 hours right now. I'll get in touch with my producer. I believe I don't think he's got Duke on Skype. The show's done on Skype, Duke. Shazuz, would you like to join also?
Well, I'd like to, but I'll have to take a rain check this go. I got prior engagement, so.
I'll set it up, guys. Let's do an hour a day. That's only because generally, I really wanted to get him on, but he's really out there working with people right now in his community. So, let's do this afternoon, 1 o'clock. I've got a guest in for 2, but we'll go for an hour, and it'll be fun.
Okay, has everybody got said what they need said?
That's 1 o'clock on People's Internet Radio, guys.
Great.
Okay. So what time would it be for me?
Well, it's 9:21 here right now. My show's on in 3 hours and 40 minutes from now.
All right.
So that's 3:30 or something.
Yeah. 4 o'clock Ontario time, I think, Barry, right?
Yeah, you're 3 hours ahead of me, Duke.
So 4 o'clock Ontario time.
Yeah, your show's on at 6, so that gives you an hour to rest between shows.
All right.
My show is on Facebook at 9 o'clock Ontario time, so I've got lots of time between 4 and 9 to get things organized.
Cool. Everybody, if you got some links, pass them into the chat rooms and stuff like that so anybody listening in can jump in there and grab them links up and be able to come over to listen. Folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Once again, the show takes on a life of its own, and it seems like we keep getting longer every time, but hey, we got this information. We got to get it out somehow or another. But here's how we need your help. We're not asking for any donations. We're not asking for anything other than a second of your time. Copy a link. If you like a podcast, cut it up, take whatever you like out of it, rebroadcast it, do whatever you want, put the information out there. But until you take the time to share this information that you believe in with somebody else, then, you know, it's not going to spread like it should. We need everybody to wake up and know that there are people out here offering solutions. People out here talking about it. It's real simple to become a Knight of the Round Table. All you got to do is join us on this show right here on this Skype. You can be an honorary knight just for showing up in the chat room. We got lots of wonderful honorary knights that sit down there and put links to pertinent information that, you know, and plus the website itself, there's all kinds. If you're into alternative energy or, you know, alternative medicines, we're putting information out there. To go on to the Super Chat Room, you can scroll up there. Steven's resource page is full of links to all kinds of alternative energy researchers. And so that's what this website's about. It's an information place where if you can't find it, we'll find it for you, whatever. You know, it's about trying to help you, to help the world one positive pebble at a time. That's what we do here. So if you like what you heard here, please share it on your social media networks and do whatever you can to go against the censorship, because I'm telling you, censorship is a whole lot more dangerous than what you really contemplated on. If you sit back and look at all the facts, we got problems if we allow them to be the only one that can open their mouth. So with that said, peace.
And that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more than table. The many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. King Shaziz the Terrible.
King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.